much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Please get the kids out the room because I'm going to let a couple fly on this. I'm just letting you know right off. I usually don't curse on my videos, but I'm going to let a couple fly.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
By the way, right now is the Armenian Genocide Day. You know what? We'll be still being genocide every day by the whole Muslim. They are fighting against each other.
That didn't go well.
And now.
I grew up in Los Angeles going to the Rams and the Raider games. I would love to have a football team back here.
It just can't be the Raiders because we've gone down in crime every year since the Raiders have left.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. Strong point. I may have to, not that I can vote for him, but I may have to vote for Eric Garcetti after that, after he strongly came out against the Raiders. Now he's my candidate. That morning. Woman who wants to bring the Raiders back, she's no good for L.A.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, brand new show for a Tuesday morning at 5:34.
What's up, party people?
What's going on?
I know that Beer Mug was for it, but I was strongly against what happened at the Boston Marathon yesterday.
That's
what I heard you saying earlier. But I was thinking about you, Lisa, because doesn't your boyfriend run the Boston Marathon sometimes?
He does. And I got a lot of calls, and he got a bunch of calls. He said, well, I know what my memorial will be like. Yeah, he sure did run. He didn't run this year. But it's funny because I had some other friends who were there about an hour before the blast went off, taking pictures of the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you were lucky if you finished well ahead or well after.
Yes.
You know, the event that happened, about 4 hours and 9 minutes in. But I can't stop thinking about something like this when it happens. Of course, it's all over the news if you have the TV on. But I can't get into the mindset of not going after the government. It's a new kind of war where you don't go after the – if you're mad at a country, you used to fight that country. Now you fight its citizens, and it's hard to get to wrap your head around how killing innocent people furthers a cause, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's just there's no explanation for it. And ordinarily I do a story for you in the morning that I find funny, but I wanted to read something today that was very widely circulated yesterday. But if you didn't see it, I think you should hear it. And it's from our friend Patton Oswalt, who wrote this on his Facebook page. Did you guys happen to see this?
No,
I didn't. Had to say he's, you know, a very smart man and very insightful. And I love what he wrote about what happened in Boston yesterday. So I'm just going to read it for you now. Boston, effing horrible. I remember when 9/11 went down and my reaction was, well, I've had it with humanity. But I was wrong. I don't know what's going to be revealed to be behind all this mayhem, one human insect or a poisonous mass of broken sociopaths. But here's what I do know. If it's one person or 100 people, that number is not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the population on this planet. You watch the videos of the carnage, and there were people running towards the destruction to help out. This is a giant planet, and we're lucky to live on it, but there are prices and penalties incurred for the daily miracle of existence. One of them is every once in a while the wiring of a tiny sliver of the species gets snarled, and they're pointed toward darkness. But the vast majority stands against that darkness, and like white blood cells attacking a virus, they dilute and weaken and eventually wash away the evildoers and, more importantly, the damage they wreak. This is beyond religion or creed or nation. We would not be here if humanity were inherently evil. We'd have eaten ourselves alive long ago. So when you spot violence or bigotry or intolerance or fear or just garden variety misogyny, hatred or ignorance, just look it in the eye and think, the good outnumber you, and we always will.
Wow.
How'd you get all that on Twitter?
Facebook.
It was 10 Twitter entries in a row.
Had it on his Facebook page.
No, that was really, that's very, I mean, very moving.
It's good perspective, yeah. Especially like I mentioned earlier, if you watch the news when it's the bomb blasts over and over and over again and the carnage and the people being, you know, taken away to the hospital and, you know, the reports of all the people who, you know, for folks who didn't follow the story yesterday, 3 dead, including an 8-year-old boy, for God's sakes. Yeah. who could be more innocent than that? I heard up to 25 people had limbs amputated.
Oh, man.
25 people who were just out there enjoying a, you know, Patriot Day in Boston, which is a holiday in that city, and, you know, just having a beautiful, beautiful spring afternoon, and they lose a leg or something. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I think Pat makes a great point to say, as horrible and as evil as that is, the percentages of people who attempt to do things like that is so tiny. It's so tiny. And he's right. If you look at that footage, there were hundreds of people doing everything they could to help. Way more good than bad, yeah. I think, is the point. And that's, I think, worth keeping in mind just to keep it in perspective.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt. How about
I know.
That?
He's a deep thinker.
He is. He's the man.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abid Show, shall we?
I don't know what those words mean. Are you in the middle of some sort of aneurysm?
Most of the time, yes. UFC President Dana White will be on the program today.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about UFC on Fox this weekend.
Okay.
We have John Cena from the WWE on the program
today. We've got it covered today, don't we?
We
UFC
do.
UFC and WWE.
That's right. We have Creed Bratton on the show today. He plays Creed on The Office.
I love
the most
him.
Interesting man in the world.
The most interesting man in the world. And I knew none of this information before we got this pitch.
Mm-mm.
Bean knows he's been in bands, and I don't know. He is the most interesting man in the world for real.
He's had a very bizarre life, yeah. And that that wacko character that he plays on The Office is not far from the real Creed Bratton.
No. Embarrassing celebrity encounters on the program today. A brand new, it's brand new to us. It's a Bean air check from 1988.
Oh, awesome.
Do we have to?
Only yes. We might do that every break today. I'm not sure. So that's coming up. And comedian Jay Moore will also be on the show today.
Wow.
So how about that? Let's take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Coachella 2013 is not over yet. Yes, weekend one is behind us. Weekend two is still ahead. And K-Rock is going to be out there broadcasting live from the Coachella house. We want to hook you up with a three-day pass and access to the house to see all the great K-Rock bands coming by and performing live, too. So keep listening for your chance to win that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for a first look at the show. Biz Beak. Morning, Ralph.
Anyone else get the vibe that Amanda Bynes is kind of like a young female Kevin? How?
Oh, interesting.
Dare you?
Although she's further along at her age than Kevin was at that age.
Yeah, I think they're comparable at their current ages. It's like Batman and his youthful sidekick, Robin.
Right.
It's like Kevin, you know, and then Amanda would be like his sidekick if they were superheroes. They have similar powers at the same age.
But I'm okay. But I'm not. But she's crazy.
Allegedly.
She tweeted this week, you know, she has this fascination with Drake. This is the man she said she wanted him to murder her vagina.
Right.
Remember
sure.
that one of her tweets?
Right. And I believe Kevin said that at a similar age, didn't he?
That's right. her tweet this week about Drake. Drake has eyes for days, she tweeted. Doesn't that sound like something Kevin would say in conversation?
Eyes for days?
You have eyes for days.
He thinks it's an expression, but it's not. Yeah. Is that a sort of thing?
Exactly. Her parents apparently are very worried about her, and she says that she no longer speaks to them.
Oh, no.
So, her family may have a hard time getting through to her.
Are her parents worried about me?
Or just we're all worried about you, Kevin. You know what else I'm worried about? This Hugh Jackman fan. Did you hear about this? He was working out in his gym last Saturday when a woman broke in to his gym screaming and crying, saying how much she loved him. Finished off her adoration by tossing her pubic hair at him.
Oh, gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
I neither. That's quite the compliment. She shaved herself with an electric razor and then took all the hair from down there and chucked it at him as a show of her devotion.
That seems all bad.
It does. Is that some sort of...
I hope it's not a thing.
That sort of gesture that's catching on now that I'm not aware of?
I sure hope not.
Because that sounds messy.
You don't really care about somebody until you've hurled your pubic hair at them, Ralph.
Hugh has beefed up his security, and he said he's even bringing along his bulldog Peaches to his workouts now. Yeah, I'm sure Peaches is really going to keep anyone from hurling their pubic hair at him.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
And by the way, Hugh Jackman continues to be the most awesome guy in the world because his statement is all about love and concern for the woman.
He took it in stride and just couldn't be nicer.
Like he does with everything he does. He always does the right thing.
Yeah. He's either the greatest guy in show business or he's the devil. Can't work it out yet.
Because, you know,
too smooth.
Yeah, he's putting that on facade, and then he goes home and, like, eats kittens.
Yeah.
Something's up.
This Farrah Abraham, you know, my favorite. You know, my girl, my teen mom.
You love her so much.
She's the best. This is the lying, conniving bitch who tried to make us believe that she had a sex tape that was leaked, that somehow someone got a hold of her sex tape, and they were going to release it without her permission.
Right.
She was very upset about it. And then we found out after the fact this was a movie that she had commissioned herself with porn star James Dean. They had filmed it, and they were going to try to fake it as if it was a stolen sex tape, but in reality it was just a porn tape that she did. He wouldn't go along with it. He wouldn't join in their little lies. He wouldn't pretend to be her boyfriend for the sake of promotion. And so the whole story got blown up.
Because he didn't care about her.
He didn't care.
No. He was, like, probably annoyed by the plan.
Yes, he was.
But, Ralph, you don't let her slide a little bit on antics like that when she has music like this? I mean, come on. You got to cut a genius some slack.
I'm not saying she isn't an artist. I'm just saying
that's real.
That happened. Well, this is how desperate she is for fame. Another story was revealed this week that she approached a 25-year-old actor named Carson Underwood and offered to pay him to play her boyfriend so that she could get a gig on that couples therapy show on VH1.
Wow. She's so desperate.
She offered him a five-figure salary to fake being her boyfriend and even sent over a confidentiality agreement. Sources tell Radar Online he wasn't interested. And people close to her saying she's willing to do anything to stay famous, obviously. So I guess the first plan was the couples therapy show. When that didn't go, she said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll release a sex tape. That'll make me famous.
Right.
She's horrible.
She is horrible. In every way.
Let me, can I get a little more of her music? You have that other song, On My Own? You have that track? You have that track, Standing By?
Yeah, I got a little bit of that one for you. Hang on here.
I'm swinging a little one's hand. I'm the push behind the swing. I know everything we wanted, what we strive for.
Equally good. How do you choose between the two? They're both awesome.
Man.
You think she produced that, too? Because any producer that had any musical ability would at least make it fit the music. It's terrible.
I don't know. I don't know what to do about her.
That's crazy.
My fury is growing and such. I haven't felt this way in a long time about somebody. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think she's knocked Taylor Swift down a peg in your mind.
Oh, Taylor, I'm going to give Taylor Swift a big kiss on the lips right now. I want to invite her over for brunch. There's no one else I hate as much right now as I do this Farrah Abraham. She's just a horrible person on every level. So, you know, she's waxing her kid's eyebrows, a three-year-old plucking her eyebrows, and just the DUIs and just bad plastic surgery and just lying and horrible, just one after another. She has no redeeming quality. At least Taylor Swift is pretty and can sing.
Right. Farrah Abraham is to you what Beer Mug is to the entire world.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Thank you, Bean. Finally, you've crystallized my thoughts.
Wow.
Speaking of DUIs, DUI du jour goes to comedian Kevin Hart, who was popped by our finest early this Sunday morning by the LAPD. Apparently he was driving 90 miles an hour on the 101. Almost ran into a tanker truck.
Wow.
Sunday morning. Was pulled over and booked for driving under the influence and released on $5,000 bond. One nice thing about this story, refreshing thing, is that Kevin Hart isn't even bothered to deny the charges or make excuses. Simply said in his statement, it's a wake-up call for me. And according to Kevin and other sources, he didn't even waste the officer's time when he was pulled over. He confessed to being a drunk man and said, I don't want to waste your time with a sobriety test.
What?
He just copped to it right then and there.
Wow. That's weird.
That is weird. But kind of refreshing. And good news for Wesley Snipes. He's gainfully employed again. Sylvester Stallone has already written him into the Expendables 3 film.
Great.
Snipes is back. Sly tweeted over the weekend with us.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, he's working, and that's a great choice for Expendables 3. It's perfect for that cast. Right?
Absolutely. I still can't believe we send people to jail who don't pay their taxes.
Yeah, it's madness.
Like, how does that reimburse the government for the money that they're owed? It just doesn't, because you can't work.
It costs more.
It costs more. Yeah, exactly. You're just making the problem worse by sending them to jail.
It's pointless.
Pointless.
Stallone also implied that Expendables 3 already has a director attached.
Is that right?
A gentleman by the name of Mel Gibson.
What?
Mel is a magnificent director, Stallone said. Pure passion on every level. We'd be blessed to have him. A real long shot, but life is a long shot, right? So apparently there's some sort of conversations going on there.
He's a good director.
He is, actually.
Yeah, he's a great director. Yeah. I think Stallone was having a phone conversation with him. They were talking about the project to see whether they could make it work or not.
That's provocative, okay?
See, he's excited. Provocative idea for the new film. He's looking forward to it.
Then he got. Then things turned.
You should just me, because I deserve it.
That's not how you get a job.
You're a male. You don't get all mentally irregular. You know what I'm saying? Ask me to direct a movie is all I'm doing.
I don't care.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Kareema Abdul-Jabbar, star of Splash. I think that's the only thing he's ever done.
That's how he's best remembered.
How dare you call him that? Star of Splash.
66 years old today. Ellen Barkin, 59 years old. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 49. Martin Lawrence turns 48 today. John Cryer, our good friend from Two and a Half Men, turns 48. Peter Billingsley. Remember little Ralphie from A Christmas Story?
Sure.
He's moved on to be a very successful producer. He's 42 years old. Akon is 40 years old. And actor Lucas Haas. Little kid. He was a little kid actor back in the day. I think Witness, I think, was his big first film. He played the little Amish boy, in Witness with Harrison Ford. He is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after six.
Interesting group of guests here on The Kevin and Bean Show today, including UFC president Dana White, also wrestler and actor John Cena is going to be joining us, Creed Bratton from The Office, and comedian Jay Mohr. That sounds like a hell of a dinner party, having all those guys over, doesn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we need dinner.
That's all we need. Yeah. That's what this show is missing, mm-hmm. is dinner. Anyway, that's all coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Ozzy Osbourne back in the news. Did you guys have any inclination that he was not sober anymore?
No, but it's not incredibly shocking.
It's hard to tell with him.
Yeah, good point. That's an excellent point. I thought he had been sober for decades. I was surprised to read about this relapse, but first the stories came out that Ozzy and Sharon were living apart, and then we heard this news report that suggests, well, maybe his drinking and drugging has something to do with it.
Ozzy Osbourne has admitted that he will not be getting a divorce, and the reason he's living apart from wife Sharon is because he's been drinking and taking drugs. The rocker denied on his Facebook page that he and his wife were splitting. The 64-year-old wrote, "For the last year and a half, he has been drinking and taking drugs and was an a-hole to the people he loves the most, but he is happy to say that he is now 44 days sober."
Who wrote that for him? Seriously, he didn't write on his Facebook page. He can't work a remote.
Can you imagine what it would be like living with Ozzy? And as Lisa mentioned, he's tough to live with anyway. But Ozzy drunk or on drugs
and not Sharon to help you do anything else?
Right.
No, I was saying for Sharon. Can you imagine what it was like living with him? And that, no wonder she moved out. No wonder they're living separately, right? That would be tough to deal with. But I hope they get back together, because I think you're right, Kevin. I think Ozzy dies without her. Yeah. I think he needs her very badly. So we wanted to find out how he's doing as a bachelor. Ozzy Osbourne joins us back again on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Oz.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
It's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
How are you?
We're good.
We're doing fine. It's nice to...
Who are you calling for?
We're calling for you, Ozzy. Wanted to talk to you again about this story in the news that you you had a little bit of a relapse with your drinking and drugging.
Sharon! Kevin and Bean will talk to me!
I don't...
Sharon!
I don't think...
Hello?
She's there.
Sharon!
The story... Ozzy, the story is that...
Sharon!
Ozzy.
Sharon's not here right now. Can I take a message?
The story that we get from the news is that she's moved out and you're living by yourself.
Sharon, have you moved out?
She's at the Beverly Hills Hotel, apparently, Ozzy, if you'd like to call her there. But she's,
Sharon, are you
she's,
at the Beverly Hills
stop,
Hotel?
Stop yelling at her. She can't hear you. She doesn't live there. You
Sharon,
live by yourself
here.
Now.
She's at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
We just told you that.
Who did?
We did. Kevin and Bean.
No, Kevin and Bean aren't here. They're on the radio.
Okay, we're talking to you right now, Ozzy. What are you going to do to get your wife back? 31 years together and 3 kids. You guys should stay together.
I don't need anyone. I'm perfectly fine on my own.
Look, we love you, but I'd like to suggest, yes, you do need Sharon.
I don't. I'm a bachelor. I'm living bachelor life now. I need to get a cup of coffee. You want something?
No.
No, it's all right. I just got a cup of coffee.
All right.
Where's the milk? I think it's in the refrigerator.
See?
No, no, that's a broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you're not competent to live by yourself. You need to be in some sort of assisted living home if you don't have a wife
around.
No, I need
a bowl of cereal. Hold a second.
Oh, no, don't.
Don't try to get cereal.
Cousin, you know how things work.
How, why is there a chicken in the cereal box?
Well, we don't know.
Doesn't smell good.
No, I'm sure it doesn't.
Sharon, there's a chicken in the cereal box.
Sharon's not home, Ozzy.
She's not there, Ozzy.
Yelling won't help. She's not there.
Talking to me, I don't think.
How many days sober are you now, Ozzy?
I'm 44 days sober.
Okay. 44. Congratulations. That's a good start.
Thank you.
Has she put any number on how many days you need to be sober before she'll come home, or how does that work?
No, she said she wasn't telling me how many.
Okay.
And I said to her, I'm 44 days sober, mm-hmm. but not in a row.
Oh, well, see.
I think that's sort of how
over the past 3 years, I've been sober for 44 days.
No, you kind of count days sober in a row.
In a row. It only counts.
Let me look at a calendar.
Wow. What's that?
I have a wall fell down. I had a calendar on the wall, and the whole wall came down.
The whole wall fell down. Wow.
I shouldn't have put the calendar up with a chainsaw.
That's true, probably.
I think I cut through a load-bearing beam.
You shouldn't be anywhere near a chainsaw.
No, no, you shouldn't.
Hold on, let me get my cell
phone. Oh, wow. What happened?
The other wall fell down.
We need to wrap Ozzy in plastic and put him in a rubber room.
She's not there, Ozzy. I think
so. I'm sober, and I'm hoping we'll get back together soon.
Right. Okay, so are you going to, you know, maybe make a call or two and just see if you can talk her into it?
Absolutely. I'm going to call her right now.
Okay.
Sharon!
Okay. No, you have to on the
phone. Let's get back together!
You have to call her on the phone.
She can't hear you.
Oh, no.
What was that?
Can I crash at your place?
No!
Hey, come on. Get it together, people.
Yeah, we got to start coming to the meetings. That's all there is to it.
It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 24 minutes after 6, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
We appreciate you getting in touch with the program. It's always nice to hear what you think. You have comments. You add a lot of great ideas. Make great suggestions for content on the program. We always enjoy hearing from you. You can write to us at the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, which is just at Kevin and Bean. Of course, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can contact us through krock.com. You can find our email addresses there on Twitter. We're pretty much everywhere. And we get a lot of great emails from people like this one from Kendra, who is a podcast listener, lives in L.A., you guys, but listens to the podcast at work, right? Because we're on too early for a lot of people.
Right.
Guys, I was listening to the podcast at work like I do, but I actually had to turn it off. For some reason, listening to the story of the girl who drinks her own blood almost made me pass out at work. Everything started turning white. My ears started ringing. I got sweaty and cold. I had to ask a coworker to get me some water and lay down. How crazy is that? I've never really been squeamish, but it did happen to me one time when I got my blood drawn. So I guess hearing that clip, I started reliving the experience. So no more blood stories, but I'm always on board with the vomit because that's funny every time. Fire beer mug, Kendra. Kendra, in case you're listening at work again today, here's your girlfriend.
Blood is as important as water to me. I like to drink blood when I'm reading, when I'm relaxing, when I'm watching TV, when I'm painting. Sure. It's never a bad time for me to drink blood.
So there you go, Kendra. Have a great day at work today, sweetheart.
Co-workers, pick her up, please. She'll be fine in just a few minutes. This one is about the song that we played from the Scottish government. They put out a song for older people about a cancer test that you can do by testing your poo.
Test your poo, test your poo, test your poo, test your poo. Spin yourself around and test your latest poo.
That is from the Scottish government.
Yes.
And we played a few other songs that guy came up with. And Daryl writes, call the Smithsonian.
Yes. Done. Absolutely. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. I'm a podcast listener, and I heard the Wardrobe Malfunction show, and I thought you'd like this story. Remember we were talking about it? I don't remember how we got on the topic, but we were talking about you've been someplace, ladies, and you had the wardrobe malfunction where something was seen that wasn't supposed to be.
Right.
Well, I'm a teacher, and on my last day of student teaching, I wanted to take the time to thank the principal and the office staff at the school that I had worked at all semester. So I grabbed my backpack from the classroom, and I headed to the office and shook hands with everyone and thanked them all. I smiled and looked everyone in the eye and made a point to really spend some time expressing my gratitude. As I left the campus, I was feeling pretty great about my whole experience there until I noticed that the backpack I'd put on had pulled my button-down shirt apart, exposing my double D's. I'm sure I certainly made an impression that day. I was so embarrassed that I didn't ask for any references from the staff. Love the show. Fire beer mug, Kristen. By the way, wouldn't you ask for references
yes.
and get the greatest references you've ever got in your career after that experience?
The two greatest references.
Guaranteed good references. You can get any job in America if that's how you leave a job. So well done.
We were talking about Bean and his photo of OJ that's nude. Full frontal in his bathroom. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to delve into there, but we didn't have much time. So I have a few emails on that topic. Bean, you sick bastard, gay, straight, black, white, or even human. And I'm not sure he's in any of those categories. Why would you keep a picture, let alone hang a picture of a killer's penis?
Because it's awesome. That's why. Because it's naked OJ.
Enough said. The fact that it is full frontal nudity and the portrait of O.J. Simpson just makes you gay, no matter what race you are. Hmm. And finally, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure that any true racist would not actually display a photo of a black man, naked or not.
Oh, interesting.
Move on, people. Stop trying to turn everything into a race statement, Emily.
Interesting.
But that's what we do.
We try to whip people into a needless frenzy. Yeah. That's our goal.
Kevin's not going to be happy until there's a race war and he's able to get a TV in the rioting. On that topic, Bean, I used to work at a gas station and we had towel dispensers at my house in the garage, one with blue towels and one with white towels. One day my parents' friend came over and he used the sink in the garage and went to use the towels. I got the feeling that maybe I shouldn't have labeled them colored and white.
All right.
He put them that way so that he knew which, when he was doing laundry, put the colored towels over here, the white towels over there. Needless to say, we both laughed uncomfortably, and my dad made us take down the labels, but it was good times, Tom. Here's an email from Adrena, and I wanted to mention this because coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, the 27th of April, I am going to be, believe it or not, I'm going to be walking a 5K down in Fullerton. It's the Donate Life Run Walk. You can get all the details at KROQ.com if you'd like to make a donation to help spread the great word about organ donation, or even better yet, be part of Team Bean and walk with me. Again, go to KROQ.com and sign up. It's on Saturday, April the 27th. Bean, as a wife of a kidney recipient, I would like to say thank you. People have no idea how hard it is for a person to go through dialysis for 3+ hours, 3+ days a week. I can, however, watching my husband go through this for almost 2 years. It's been said that for every year you're on dialysis, you could lose up to 10 years of your life. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm grateful to you and all organ donors. My husband will celebrate 3 years in October, and I am so grateful to his brother Daniel for donating life to my husband and our family. Hope to see you on the 27th. I am a loyal KROQ listener, Adrena. Thank you very much for that, Adrena, and thank you so much for signing up to come to Team Bean's walk on the 27th.
Just look for the guy in the golf cart.
And finally, hey Bean, the Clippers have clinched the Pacific Division last week, but we've yet to hear Dave's Clipper song. What the F? Get on it. Raise the banner. Clipper Nation, baby. Sincerely, King of Mexico at KROQ.com.
Really? He's in the other room.
Apparently, Dave is sending in emails going, how about a little Clipper love? And I think maybe just this once, maybe the team has earned it since they clinched the division.
Yo, whoa. Turn up the bass in my headphones. Lob City, what up? Alright, let's do this. Clipper Nation, represent. Ain't nobody messing with my clips. Clips, 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 clips. Ain't nobody fresher than my mother loving clips. Clips, 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 clips. As I look around, they be jockeying on my clips. Clips, 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 clips. And all the Clipper Nation, man, they want that. They want that.
You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. When it comes to my clips, you know I'll always be down. Believe, believe, believe.
Okay. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time.
Griffin with that dunk, make that rim shake. CP3 crossover, watch them ankles break. Give it to Crawford, watch the shake and bake. Dish it out to Butler, he'll hit that tray. Say yay, say yay, when the clips win every day, yay. Got a great bench that's gonna play, yay. Grant Hill and Bledsoe is all I got to say, yay. People gonna hate, but that will be okay, yay. Clips the best team in LA, yay. That's right, Clipper Nation, 2013. said every year, but this is the year. Lakers, you made yourself better, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we have a tribe called Bitch. And that's right, they're gonna kill it. They are killing it. We're killing it. Clipper Nation, rise up. Dan the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, I'm out. Oh!
Mexican Kanye right there.
Right.
All right, let's do this.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I need to open a nice bottle of wine here and get out some stone ground wheat crackers.
Okay.
To go with all the cheese that's going to be coming out of the speakers in the next couple minutes.
Now, I hate to pile on my man Bean from the early days because I was worse than Bean was. So, but what do we have? We have 1988.
That's right, boys and girls. There
and
was
by the
time.
Way, let me also add, before as prologue here, that it's easy for Ralph, who never had a job in radio before this one, to make fun of those of us who had to work our way up to this point.
Okay,
you were born fully formed on the radio, Ralph, but we had to work to get here, dude.
Yeah, but I came on the radio, and you know what I didn't do?
This.
I've never done radio before. So this is my first radio job, and I didn't sound like this.
All right. Because you came into the radio world in the 2000s,
uh-huh.
when things were very different than they were back in the
day. Listen, look, I don't care what time it is. I don't care what year it is. There's no reason you have to go on the public airwaves and do this. Could have done other things.
Bean and I were not always a team, so he worked it alone and I worked alone, and we were both terrible, and I can't wait to hear Bean.
KZZP is the radio station.
Phoenix.
GBGB Gene Baxter was the DJ on the Wheels of Steel, bringing you all the latest and greatest hits. And here's the thing. Bean seemed to think, and I think still does to this day, that it's freaking hilarious if someone says something to you on the radio and you pretend they said something else. If you misconstrued what they're saying and then you answer the opposite.
Oh, I think we all know that's still funny to him.
Oh, sweet Jesus. There's nothing funnier. There's nothing stronger. Like, let's say, like this caller who called in to talk to GBGBGB Gene Baxter on KZZP.
KZZP, talk to me.
Yeah, hi. How do you get on the radio?
You work very hard, sir. Steady, many years. Lots of moving around. Low pay, long hours. Hard, hard, hard work.
Uh-huh.
Now you know.
No, I just wanted to know. I mean, how'd I get on the air?
Can't be done, sir.
Can't be done?
No, I'm sorry.
Damn, okay.
Just no way I can figure out to work it in.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Have a great Friday the 13th.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
See? Listen to Bean laugh. Bean laugh.
See, the guy wanted to know how he can get on the air, and Bean knew that. But what he did was he took it and he did a twist, man.
Yeah.
It made it sound like he was trying to get into a career in broadcasting.
He probably walked out in the hallway and said, I misunderstood him on purpose. Sweet. Get it?
Slam. And then I put him on the radio, and then I told him he couldn't be on the radio. Awesome. It is Friday the 13th. All these clips are from the same day, by the way. This all happened in one day. One air shift.
All
this
right.
is just one air shift. Okay.
All right.
Bean, you know, loves selling stuff. He loves to go do the live reads.
There's something weird about Bean that I've never met anyone else in the world, and that is if there's a commercial to read, he demands to be the one.
Oh, can't be more excited than to do a live commercial.
And that's the opposite of everyone else I've ever met.
How excited do you think GBGB Gene Baxter was when Chicago, the band, Chicago was coming to play there in Phoenix, was going to be performing?
I can only assume a lot.
KZZP is, of course, your concert station, and we're proud to present Chicago live. And out of the options, that's really the best way, don't you think? At the Sun Dome,
it's the best way because if they weren't live,
they were dead, that wouldn't be a good show.
Wouldn't be as good a show.
That wouldn't be entertaining.
Hmm. He went out in the hallway and said, I just said live.
Because it's live and then dead is the opposite of that.
The only way.
High five me, someone high five me. Don't leave me hanging. You remember the song Piano in the Dark? Who did that, Bean? You have it.
Brenda Russell.
There you go.
I don't remember that.
Brenda Russell had a song called Piano in the Dark. It was a big hit. And
I bet he says, how can she see the keys?
Oh, it's better than that. Okay. It's better than that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Piano in the Dark. Sounds like a song Ray Charles might have written, doesn't it?
Oh, because he's blind!
This is one after another. He just keeps bringing it. He's blind, everybody, high five me! He's out in the dark all the time, and he plays the piano! Awesome! I could have said Stevie Wonder, but I said Ray Charles! I had so many options, you guys like what I did?
You know when someone's a winner on the air, on the winner.
Right.
You know, a contest winner? You know what winner sounds a lot like?
What?
If you alter it slightly, the pronunciation?
Wiener.
Sounds like wiener.
Yeah.
You are a big wiener.
How are you?
Congratulations. I'm fine. You've won the LP or tape of your choice from our immense KCCB prize closet.
I mean, is it really immense?
It's huge, ma'am. In fact, I'm not even allowed to describe its size on the air. Apparently, there are new FCC regulations. I don't even want to get into it.
What does that even mean? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I have no memory
just
of that.
Just play the song. You're paid to play the song, monkey. We don't need your hilarious wiener FCC regulation comedy.
The prize closet is too big to describe, Ralph.
Sweet Jesus. Remember Samantha Fox? She had a bunch of dance hits back in the 80s.
Yeah. Was she like Touch Me? Or?
Touch Me, yeah. She was like a hot little British chick.
Yeah.
Who was known basically for showing her boobs off in the UK, and then she had a minor recording career.
Right.
Oh, Bean played her music.
K-G-G-P. Thank you. Samantha Fox, I bet she does, from KZZB 104.7 FM, the number one hit music station. It's me, GBGB, Gene Baxter, inside 11 hits in a row. The freshest sound in the valley is Hey Little Walter by Tony.
First of all, I beg to differ. I don't think that's the freshest sound in the valley, anything by Tony. And second of all, Samantha Fox, I bet she does. See what he did there?
See, he took
because
the word fox
can sound like something else if you pronounce
it. I just said the word fox. And I said it. Contact me. People might think I said the other word.
It's sexy.
You exhausted yet?
Every time
this is
someone says
day.
A word, he just takes a word and pretends it's pronounced differently and then makes a joke about it. That's his patented shtick every freaking break.
Yeah.
Listen to this caller.
KZZP, hi.
Hi, what caller am I?
This is just a guess now, but you sound white to me.
I said caller.
Oh, caller. I'm sorry, I misheard.
See?
See, because caller and color are very similar words.
Oh, this is color.
It's so easy to confuse those two. Somebody like me.
You're horrible. Look at the time, you
You're
guys.
Horrible. You're so horrible.
We only have 13 more seconds. Don't worry, B.
And because it is Friday the 13th, Bean had to do a little Friday the 13th comedy.
KZZP 104.7 FM, the number one hit music station. Well, I made it into work. I feel pretty good about that. It's Friday the 13th. Traditionally, I have the worst luck on this day, but so far, nothing's gone wrong, and I guess that...
See, nothing's gone wrong. Oh, wait a minute. There's static on the air. Something's
gone
wrong. I said nothing went wrong, and then something went wrong.
That's on me.
Everybody. How did you not kill yourself after you got off the air?
He listened to me and went, at least I'm better than him.
Our friend Kevin Smith called in a couple days ago to tell us of a celebrity encounter that he had where he ran into somebody that he adored and admired, another celebrity that he just froze around. And if it can happen to Kevin Smith, a guy who is a celebrity, who hangs out with famous people all the time, you can imagine what happens to the rest of us when we run into a situation like that. So we're going to want to hear your awkward celebrity encounters coming up the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
It's me, RG, Ralph Garman.
Got to speed it up a little, man.
Bean's entire career was, would you like to take that back? His entire radio career.
He didn't just start as the perfect DJ he is now.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to work your way up.
It's me, RG, Ralph Garman. Hey, somebody better call the Center for Aziz Control because I've got tickets for Aziz Ansari.
Yeah! Oh, I'm so mad I didn't think of that.
Aziz Ansari is playing at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on May the 2nd. And if you'd like to go, we've got your tickets right now. Aziz Ansari, of course, hilarious stand-up, great on Parks and Rec. If you'd like to go see him, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers through at that number will get a pair of tickets to go see Aziz Ansari at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on May the 2nd. Don't worry, though, if you don't win, because you can go to Ticketmaster.com and buy your own tickets. Gosh darn it. Hey, the sex tape thing's just out of control. Everybody just has to have the sex tape now.
Sure.
If you're a talentless attention whore, if you're a loser of mythic proportions, you have nothing else to offer, just trot out some footage of you banging somebody.
In the old days, that didn't exist either, so at least there's an avenue.
Yeah.
Right?
In the old days, people would be ashamed of that and try not to get it out there. Now they're doing the opposite. They're creating tapes just to pretend they have leaked sex tapes, like that Farrah Abraham. Now two stars of Buck Wild are recognizing, now that the show's been canceled and they're off the air, how else are they going to stay in the limelight?
Well, it's time to release their sex tape. On again, off again couple, Shay Bradley. Shay was the blonde on that show, was pretty sporty looking.
She was hot?
Yeah. And her boyfriend, Jesse J, they lived together in a trailer and broke up during the show. Well, their sex tape is now being shopped around. According to TMZ, the tape is nothing fancy. It's trailer park sex. She doesn't even take her shirt off, they say, in the film. Yeah. According to TMZ, again, the Buckwild producers knew about the tape before they started shooting the show, but they told Shay and Jesse to keep their mouths shut. And now that the show has been axed and there's no more money to be made, I guess it's being shopped around. Shay told TMZ, yes, there is a sex tape, and I regret making it with someone who I obviously couldn't trust and is looking to exploit the relationship we had.
Oh. Now those
How much
words,
are you going to give me?
Now those words just seem false.
Yeah,
because
totally.
That's what Farrah Abraham said. Yeah. Oh, it's my business, and I can't believe that, and I don't exist anything about that tape, she said. And then turned out she had made the tape for the express reason to be released.
To fake it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're finding out what a desperate, desperate, horrible person she is. Before she did the sex tape, we found out that she was desperate to join the cast of VH1's Couples Therapy because she was in desperate need of a reality show to keep herself out there. So she approached a 25-year-old guy named Carson Underwood. He's an actor. And offered to pay him to play the part of her boyfriend so she could go on Couples Therapy.
Wow.
Word is she offered him a 5-figure salary to fake being her boyfriend, even sent over a confidentiality agreement, but he was not interested and declined the offer.
I like that she sent the confidentiality agreement before he even said yes.
Yeah, maybe. Don't assume anything. It's craziness. Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith have, for a long time now, the rumor has been they had an open relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, there was a story earlier this month in the Huffington Post which seemed to confirm that, where she said, I've always told Will you can do whatever you want as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and be okay. At the end of the day, Will is his own man. So a lot of people thought that was confirmation of their situation. However, she is now retracting that, in essence.
She doesn't strike me as the kind of woman that can let that kind of stuff go.
They're too famous to do that, don't you think?
No, not at all.
Really? I mean, it's going to get out.
I can't tell you what I heard, but I'm just saying.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because she likes one aspect of sexuality, and he likes another, and they're able to go their separate ways sometimes.
Allegedly.
But they like the same aspect of sexuality is what I heard.
Nothing good happens at 4 a.m. Will and I can both do whatever we want, she said. This is how I would change my statement, because we trust each other to do so. This does not mean we have an open relationship. This means we have a grown one, she said.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
I don't either. She's better than you somehow. That's all you need to know. Right. Somehow she's letting you know
I'm kind of with Lisa. I feel like Jada Pinkett Smith is a tough broad who would not only kill Will Smith for cheating on her, but kill the woman that he cheated with. I think she would kill them both.
Unless there's an understanding where they're going to separate ways and having whatever kinds of sex they want to have with other people.
Yeah, if she agreed to at the beginning, probably, yeah.
I'm just sure.
But what are
you not saying?
Why can't you say
a little more?
Say a little more.
Just saying. Everybody got their saying. You know what I'm saying? Did the person you hurt, were they a credible source?
Was a reliable source.
A reliable source. Yes. And Ryan Reynolds has problems at home with his wife, Blake Lively. According to Star Magazine, Blake is upset with Ryan because of his nasty habit.
Which is?
He can't seem to turn off the TV, Lisa, ever.
Oh, no.
Constantly watching television. Loves it, can't get enough of it. Blake,
nothing wrong with that.
Blake says, be another guy.
Blake doesn't want it on all the time, and they're arguing about his TV watching habits.
She's wrong, he's right.
Oh, that'd drive me crazy.
If someone was watching TV constantly?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a friend who gets up and he flips it on.
That's
and
what he's like. He wants
off.
It on in the background and everything constantly on. You can't have
I like
TV
to stay current.
On.
That's annoying.
I like to stay current. So you had to choose Blake Lively or television. What do you choose?
Good question.
Easy for me. It's
wow.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Easy.
Right. Of course.
That's
right?
An easy decision.
You can't see Blake. You can't see Mad Men on Blake Lively's forehead. I think I'd have to choose TV.
You know what you can see on Blake Lively's forehead, though? Today's celebrity birthday is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, star of the TV show Splash. He is 66 years old today.
That's
what he is.
Laker Hall of Famer.
Someone said that he was involved in some sort of athletics in the past. I couldn't find any information about that. I think Ralph's right. He's just a swimmer, right?
He's a celebrity swimmer. He's 66 years old today. Ellen Barkin's 59. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 49. Martin Lawrence turns 48 years old. John Cryer in Two and a Half Men is also 48. Peter Billingsley played Little Ralphie in that Christmas Story movie. He's now a successful producer at the age of 42. Akon is 40. Actor Lucas Haas is 37. And our own Kat.
Hi, it's Kat.
She celebrates her birthday today. No one will give me a number because she's threatened to murder someone if they do. So
she's 20.
She's about 19, maybe 20.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you guys need to say to make yourselves happy.
to make her happy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Still to come on the Kevin and Bean Show, actor Creed Bratton, who plays Creed Bratton, who works selling paper in Scranton on The Office. He'll join us in about a half an hour show or so here on the program. Plus, we're going to hook you up with tickets for all 3 days at Coachella 2013, weekend number two, and the opportunity to cruise on by the K-Rock Coachella house to see the exclusive performances and interviews. Your chance to win is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Remember when I met Magic Johnson?
Yes, I do. That was a win.
Magic Johnson. Ran into him face to face, happened to be at the same place, didn't expect it, didn't know he was going to be there, didn't have anything ready to say, watched him my whole life. It's just too much. There's too much to fit into a hello.
Right.
So what came out of my mouth was, you're great. That's what I was able to come up with.
He smiled
and he was gracious and he was nice about it, even though he was thinking this is a slow person.
I don't think he was thinking that at all, because he runs into that everywhere he goes. People panic and they want to say something and they want to sum up in a few words, whatever time they have together, how much he has meant to them. And he's just kind of used to it at this point. I don't think he thought about it for a second after you turned away, Kevin. But you're ashamed for life.
Yes.
Just from thinking about it. You know, I've run into a few people, and I've come to the conclusion now that it's just better not to say anything to them. There's nothing. No, I'm serious. This has nothing to do with what happened with you and Magic, except I would fail equally, is that there's nothing that I can say that is going to be meaningful to that person, and I'm really just wasting their time. They don't need to hear from a guy on the street, hey, I'm a fan of your movie, or I like you playing a sport, or anything like that. I liked your book. They don't need it.
Yeah, no, I never go up to anyone.
They don't need it, but if it's somebody who means a lot to you, you sort of want to meet them.
But you're doing it for you at
yes,
that point. You're
agreed.
Not enriching their lives at all.
No and question about that.
And I think, what's the point of that? If you're a fan of this person, let them have their privacy. That's where I'm at now.
Mm.
Except for Allison Brie. Her, I'm putting in the trunk of my car and taking her to the basement.
Right, which is a whole different story.
Yes.
Kevin Smith was on with us. He was talking about running into a celebrity, LL Cool J, and how the same thing. There's too much history that you have with this person to sum it up in any meaningful way in a short amount of time.
I've always loved LL Cool J. Like, I always looked up to him and stuff. He's coming down the hallway, and I have that moment where I'm like, I guess people have with me, where they're like, what do I say to the dude? He's done a bunch of things. So I reach way back. How far are you going to go back? You go way back. Mm-hmm. And I reach back to Rock the Bells, and when I get within an inch of the dude, somebody goes, this is Kevin Smith, and he goes, yeah, and I go, Rock the Bells, sir. And he looked at me like I was the dumbest man in the world. Oh, my Lord. I feel so dumb, like my rap hero. And I busted Rock the Bells, and he looked at me like, no, those bells don't rock.
Now he's an accidental racist or whatever that is. So.
We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. You had a celebrity awkward encounter that you, somebody that you really admired, that you wanted to make an impression on, you wanted to talk to, you wanted it to go much differently than it did, but you just froze or you failed or something like that. Jorge writes in, a few years ago, I was in the LA County Natural History Museum. There was a kid running up and down and he ran right into me. He had parents there who told him to stop running in the museum. I looked up, and the guy who was chastising his kid was Dave Grohl.
Oh.
I was actually wearing a Foo Fighters t-shirt at the time in the museum. I so much wanted to talk to him, but I just couldn't. I froze. He loved Foo Fighters, ran face-to-face with Dave Grohl, had an opportunity to talk to him, and couldn't say a word.
When the celebrities have their kids, it's a lot, I think, harder to go up and say hi to them. But if there's anyone on this planet that is the nicest person you'll ever meet, it's Dave Grohl.
It's Dave Grohl, absolutely. All right, let's take Jason before the break here. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, we want to hear your awkward celebrity encounters. 1-800-520-1067. You failed when you met that person you admired. Hi, Jason. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
hey,
thanks.
Hi there.
Who'd you run into?
I ran into Tommy Lee. I was at a Static X concert at House of Blues, and he actually went up after I met him to do an encore for him for Looks to Kill. And my buddy elbows me, turns me around. We were watching the show. I had my Motley Crue Fest shirt on, and Tommy Lee. I run up to him, I smack him on the back, and I say, "Dude, you're Tommy Lee."
Thanks for telling me.
Thanks. He says thanks and turns around and walks away. I felt like a complete moron.
And awkward for him, because is that a thanks comment?
Well, I mean,
I'm sure he's like.
Here's the thing: when you run into somebody you're not expecting it, it takes you a couple of seconds just to wrap your brain around it.
Right. And this is a guy who's Motley Crue, Methods of Mayhem.
Oh, I got it.
Tommy
yeah.
Lee alone, and I'm just like completely blank.
I hear you.
That's hilarious. All right, thank you very much for the call, Jason. Tommy Lee went home and said to whatever 19-year-old he was with that night, "This dude came up to me and said, 'You're Tommy Lee. What's that about?'"
That's when I realized I'm Tommy Lee.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Got a tweet from somebody who said they met Kobe Bryant at their work, walked up to him to say hi, couldn't think of anything, turned around and walked away.
Talking about awkward celebrity encounters here on the Kevin and Bean Show, getting a lot of emails and tweets, Facebook posts from people who seem to do the same thing that one of our callers said, the Tommy Lee caller, which is just to tell the person who they are. Here's Kevin, who says, "I was at a show sitting outside and Danny Putty from Community walked by and I said, 'Danny Putty.' He looked at me, and that was it." Anna from Facebook, "I saw Jay Leno in Las Vegas, and I met him, and I said, 'Hi, Jay, I'm from L.A.' And he said, 'Me too.' Ugh." I mean, yeah. It just doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, as you pointed out, Kevin, because you're not prepared to meet the person.
Right. And then
it's not like you're standing in line to get their autograph and to have that encounter with them. You just are surprised by their presence.
And you love them so much, you have to try to encapsulate that in a hello, which is impossible.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let's go to Mallory. Mallory is on line 4, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll get through as many of these as we can, so please hold on if you're on the line. Hi, Mallory. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you run into?
I ran into Michael C. Hall, Dexter.
Oh, nice.
Love him.
And, I live in Long Beach. They were filming right near my house, and I saw him. I was walking my dog, and all of a sudden I look up, and he's right there, and he says, "Oh, what a cute dog." And I stand there, slack-jawed, and he's just staring at me. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me.
So he just looked at me kind of like, I might be a special needs person, and walked away.
Welcome to my life. Yeah, exactly. He said something to you first. How to get your head around that?
Right, that, exactly.
I was shocked.
That's crazy.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jamie or Jaime, whoever it is, on line 6. Hey, Jaime. Hey, Jamie slash Jaime.
Hi there.
Are you a Jamie or a Jaime?
It's Jamie.
Jamie, who'd
fantastic.
You meet?
Who'd you run into?
Well, I ran into Michael Stipe from REM, and I didn't even just run into him. I knew he was going to be there. I was an intern at the Ellen Show the very first season.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Michael spent, REM was going to be there. I'm super excited. REM's my favorite band ever. And my internship coordinator was sweet enough to put me at the door, just to kind of guard his door, quote unquote. And so when they came out with his assistant, I was so excited. I had all these wonderful things I wanted to say to him. And they were talking about horoscopes, and I just froze, and I was, I'm a Gemini, and that was it.
I'm a Gemini.
And it was over, and everything I wanted to say was kind of out the window.
But see, there you have a little bit of a more difficult road to go, because Michael Stipe, not that easy to talk to. He's nice.
He was being super sweet, and he kind of smiled, nicely at me, and it's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Right. You're a Gemini. Okay.
But
no,
you'll
asked.
Replay that for the rest of your life in your mind and wish it had
is.
Gone
I have
differently.
I've replayed it many, many times.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Morgan. Morgan is on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about awkward celebrity encounters. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, guys. Big fan.
Who'd you run into and where?
I was staying at a hotel in L.A. and I was in the elevator with my friends, and a guy walked in and he had hair all over the place, facial hair, up yin yang. Just looked like a hot mess. And I was like, why is this homeless guy getting into our hotel, elevator?
Mm-hmm.
And he swiped a VIP pass. And I was like, okay, well, he's not a homeless guy. And he turned around, and it was Jack Black. And I'm just a huge fan. He makes me laugh.
Of course.
He's probably one of the funniest guys ever. And the only thing I could say to him after I looked down was, hey, man, nice shoes.
I like it.
And,
see, that's not bad to bust his chops on something he's wearing, or were they nice?
Oh, no, he was extremely nice, but I just felt like I could have said so much more, so I just pushed the next button and exited on the wrong floor.
You got off on the wrong floor just to make an escape.
Yes.
You were so embarrassed to meet your hero that you couldn't wait to get away from him.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. Thank you. Leanne writes in, good morning, Kevin and Bean. I used to work in production. I got assigned to a Mariah Carey music video. I could not wait to meet my childhood idol. I was so excited. I was asked to hold her water bottle by a manager, and she asked what I wanted to do with my life, what my aspirations were. I just froze, and I replied, I don't know. I could have said, I'm finishing my master's degree, I'm planning a wedding, I'm looking for a job, nothing. I replied, I don't know. Mariah Carey instantly got rid of me and told her personal assistant to find a new PA. How embarrassing, I almost died.
Aww.
What a dick she is.
That was awful.
Leanne. All right, let's try Juan. I think Juan has a funny story on line three here on the Kevin Beach Show. Juan, thank you for calling. What's going on?
What up, party people?
Hi.
You know what? I was over at Disneyland for my daughter's birthday.
Yep.
And I see this guy rushing past the Matterhorn, and I knew who it was right away. So I, immediately try and get his attention because he's rushing past the Matterhorn, and I'm running behind him. And I'm, first thing that came to my mind was, pardon me, sir. And he actually moved out of the way like I was trying to get past him, but actually I was trying to get his attention. And it was Darren Malakian of System. And,
no
kidding. I'm like, no. Actually, I'm trying to get your attention, and I'm, I'm a big fan, and I just felt like a child, I don't know how much I, spit it at him. I mean, I don't know what information I gave him other than, all his music and whatnot and what he was planning on doing, and,
Oh, dear God, you're doing an interview?
No, you kept going. Difference. Everybody else so far has quit and abandoned ship. He's just going for the whole deal.
What are your aspirations?
And then I look, and he's got this sticker on his chest, and it's him celebrating his birthday, and I'm like, oh, my God, you share a birthday with my daughter, and, hey, can I get a picture? And, he was really cool, real gracious and stuff, and he was like, calm as could be. I was like, I was a flutter. I mean, I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I probably spit so much at him, he didn't know what to say.
I guarantee you did, because you don't stop talking.
No, you never stop talking. I've already learned that about you. All right. Thank you very much for the call. So we're going to have to leave it there. But there's no way to even prepare to do better at something like this, because you just can't see it coming, right? You just going to have to accept if you run into that person you love, you're probably going to fail and just expect it.
That's life.
I'm going to tell you another of the long list of reasons why our next guest is better than we are, Kevin, because if we were 70 and we'd just gotten off of 9 years of being on The Office and had all those syndication paychecks to live on.
Right.
We wouldn't be recording a new album and hitting the road and working hard.
No, that's true.
We'd be goofing off, right? We'd be living the luxury life.
Yeah. I'd be wasting
Creed Bratton.
I'd waste the rest of my life, probably.
Exactly. Creed Bratton, better than we are. Actor, musician, author, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Bratton, welcome, sir.
Thanks, guys. Well, I get bored. I get bored soon by a week after the show is over. I said, I need to do something. So
you're one of those people. You have energy.
Apparently I do.
I would just imagine. I mean, you work hard on that TV show most weeks of the year. Like I said, you've been doing it for 9 years. It finally is over. I would think that you would think, I'm just going to sleep in and just watch TV for a month because I can.
I think it hasn't even soaked in yet because we did the finale. It was like 12 hours. We work in Saturdays and Sundays there a couple of days, and 12 hours. Not that I'm complaining, but, all of a sudden it's over, and you think, okay, well, we're on hiatus. Your body thinks you're on hiatus. I think in about a month when my body says it's time to go back to the studio, then it'll sink in that I'm actually, unemployed.
Unemployed. Well, we were delighted when we found out we could have you on, Creed, because...
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course,
Lisa May, she is around. She's chiming
in. I'm right here.
Okay, good.
Look at Creed, Sly Fox, man, making a play for the lady.
Yeah. You don't need game with me, baby.
we were excited to have you on because I've been fascinated with you for a long time. I told Kevin one time that you're the most interesting man in the world because I knew about this secret history you had that a lot of people who enjoy your acting don't even know about, you being a bona fide rock star, being in the grassroots for a number of years and touring the world and just doing all. And you've had lots of other crazy musical incarnations along the way, too. So music is kind of your first love, even before acting, right, Creed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was playing at 13, 17. I was making money up in the mountains playing professionally.
Wow.
So I did it all through college. I was an acting major. I did it all through college and in Europe for about 2.5 years before the grassroots even happened, you know. So, yeah, and I've done it for a long time.
You're a guy that needs to write an autobiography, for
well,
sure.
I think I've still got a couple more chapters, I think.
No, I'm not saying you don't, but there are 19 and 20-year-olds that are writing their autobiography now. You've lived a little more than that.
I want to flesh out the story a little bit more.
All right.
you traveled like through the Middle East and Europe and Asia and Africa and all those places back back kind of in the scary crazy days, right?
In 64 and 65 I was hitchhiking across North Africa. I was stoned out of a village. I had knives pulled on me. I mean literally I was ran out of one town with rocks, the town people.
Really they
rocks.
Were They were all throwing rocks at you?
I had my guitar over the back. I mean, only Christ and myself, I think, have been stoned out of a town. I'm not trying to remember to John Lennon or anything like that. I'm just saying, guys.
Did you do something to anger them, or was it just out of the blue because you weren't them?
Tea, we had to break up to hitchhike across, and I was in Algeria. And a bunch of these little young boys and stuff came up. You never see girls because their faces are covered with boys. They came up behind me and started pulling my hair and going, beetle, 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 beetle. And I said, knock it off, guys. Beetle, beetle, beetle. And so I pushed somebody, and next thing I know, I'm running with my guitar over my head, bing, bing. And I kept hearing these tones. I'm thinking, that's an interesting melody, the rocks hitting the strings.
And then you decided to use that?
No. I'm riffing now, guys.
Okay. So wait. Did they think you were a member of the Beatles?
They didn't know who.
Yes. If somebody thinks you're a Beatle, you say yes.
Nobody has long hair. Oh. Nobody had long hair.
All right.
We did. Yeah.
You also, by the way, you talk about a rock story, and Kevin's right. You got to write the real book, and we'll talk about your autobiographical music album here in a minute, Creed. But I mean, the stories you have about dropping acid, like on stage at the Fillmore West, playing up and down the Whiskey and the Roxy and all those clubs in the Sunset Strip back in the late '60s. It must have been an unbelievable time for a young man in a band. I bet
it was the '60s, Summer of Love. We were in a top 40 good-looking band, too. So needless to say, his eyes go up in a carnal roll. You know, it was pretty good. Yeah.
So there came a time in the 70s where you got more serious about acting, but it sounds like the sketchiest details that I know, Creed, that it was a long time before you ever kind of made a lot of money in acting. Like there were some super lean years, right?
Oh, my Lord. Oh my Lord, I have a song on the album called Unemployment Line that I wrote because I was standing in the unemployment line before they would mail them to your homes, and I saw the back of this head, the female head, and I thought, reminded me of a girl I had dated.
Right.
And my heart sank, and I went and saw my friend Peter and Sarah, and we wrote that Unemployment Line song. Because that was, that was 30 years. I mean, I'd done, that movie Mask with Cher and Sam, Elliott.
Right.
Eric Stoltz. So I had one little part in there, but that got me excited. I thought, and it got a little bit of notice because of my look I gave them, And I thought, okay, this is going to be starting. No, it just kept, and this one's going to start it. No. And then I worked as a caterer and a boom man on a movie and a crew, the art crew, grip, which is a grip. I did all kinds of like C movies trying to be B movies, and it wasn't even a B movie.
That's crazy. It's crazy because you would think when you're younger and you're trying to get into showbiz, into acting, that one, if you could just get that first gig, it would all take off, and that's not necessarily true.
No, it's like Whistler's Mother. I hit it when I was 60. And probably there's a good reason for that. I think I probably would have OD'd on drugs if I'd have got it younger because I wouldn't have known how to handle it.
Yeah. And I also think, and I know that we're going to run out of time here because we only have a few minutes with Creed Bratton here on the Kevin Bean Show from The Office, and we're talking about his new album and autobiography called Tell Me About It. We'll get to in just a minute. I also think it's fascinating that you were kind of hired to be on The Office as a background player, just to be something in the background, typing and writing and things like that.
Well,
and you kind of had to force your way in to make yourself a character, right?
I was working on Bernie Mac, and I just been getting a few little parts and stuff, and Ken Kwapis, who ended up directing the first Office, for the American version. I met him there. He was a grassroots fan. I knew he was doing The Office. I said, I'd love to be on the show. He said, we're cast. He said, I'm going to talk to Greg Daniels. We're going to put you in the background. But his words were at the time, I'm going to try to work you into the mix because you're an interesting character, for sure.
Awesome.
And so then I was there for a couple of weeks. I saw all these talented people, Steve and John and Jenna and Oscar and Rain, and I thought, oh, my God. So I wrote this character. I mean, I wrote out the character, and I shot an hour's worth of stuff and ad-libbed a bunch of stuff, cut it to 5 minutes, and gave it to Greg Daniels, and here's what I'm capable of doing. And I got my own part that way.
That's how about that? Yeah, is that amazing? I've never heard of a guy turning basically a cameo into a starring role by that kind of an issue. That's amazing, Creed.
Yep, that's what you got to do sometimes.
All right, tell me about it. It's an audio biography, so it's an album, but the songs are all about the stories of your life.
What's the story of my career? One, always loving music and playing the guitar from the young age and the thrill that music gives me and still does. And the ups and downs and the grassroots and the office and what's going to happen now and all the yearnings of a young musician and what it finally came about. But it's an interesting, have you heard any of it yet at all, guys?
Not only have we heard, we're going to play a tiny clip from one of the songs right now so you can get a feel for what we're talking about with Creed.
It's Fat, I hope.
Which track do we have here, Kevin? Do you know?
Pablo. We have Pablo.
Oh, Pablo.
We have a little
bit
of Pablo.
Here, Pablo. That's a druggy song. Good. Let's
That's
do
a
it.
Druggy song. Right? Here you go.
Yeah.
No, Pablo. You stayed up so many nights. Your girl, Maria, she's been standing in the light.
Wait, did you say you got gonorrhea?
She's standing in the light.
I heard that, but what just before that?
What's that?
This song's about
this guy who was used to be my dealer. Well, he's dead now, but he was my dealer, and he lived up in Mount Washington, and then he moved out to Lancaster. This is when I was crazy. This is years ago.
Right.
So I was out there to score and stuff, and he was out of blow, and he was making methamphetamine and stuff like this. This is a long time before anybody else was doing any of this stuff, you know? And I just saw this, and my soul sank. The whole thing I saw... I wrote about it with my friend James Reardon, a writer, and we were telling the experience, and we wrote the song together. And I just realized it was I had to give up something in my life to achieve. So it was one of those things. It was a precursor for what finally happened when I cleaned up my act.
Well,
and
you can hear
thing too. It's a very positive album for what happens in my life when you finally give up stuff and get serious about life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Creed, you are a fascinating man, and we urge Kevin and Bean listeners to find out more. You can hear a bunch of stuff from the album and order it online at creedbratton.com. And, of course, don't miss The Office in its final weeks on NBC. Fascinating to have you on today. I hope we can do it again soon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed myself.
Thank you, Creed.
Thank you.
No problem. You stayed up so many nights. Girl, Maria. Standing in the light.
That's real, people. Awesome people.
Sure. You're going to buy that Creed Bratton album and drop some acid, Ralph, and have the best weekend of your life.
All I want to do is do drugs with Creed Bratton. That's all I want to do now.
People were saying, is that sounded like a Ralph bit? Nope.
Get a big 8-ball and just a case of Corona and just kick back at Creed and hear some stories.
But what a life, though. He's not a guy who's going to be on his deathbed going, there's stuff I should have done. He's done it.
No, he's the best.
Admire that. All right. Jay Moore joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday.
Why does Hollywood continue to be bad? Hard for us to answer.
Here's the new movie coming to a theater near you. You ready for Trolls?
Yay!
Trolls.
Now, many of you may not even remember, but back in the 60s, the Troll Dolls, the ugly little dolls with the brightly colored hair that would stick straight up, hugely popular in the 60s.
But did they have, they didn't have a backstory, characters or anything like that, did they?
No, it was just a doll.
Just dolls?
Yeah.
Makes the movie easier to write, I guess.
It was just a rubber doll who had a giant shock of multicolored hair, and you would collect them, and they were huge.
Right.
And then I guess in the 90s they were revived shortly with a video game and maybe a TV special. Well, now DreamWorks has announced they're bringing Trolls to a brand new audience, baby. Movies, TV series, you name it. Boom. Boom. Trolls everywhere. Trolls. Everywhere you look, it's going to be Trolls.
DreamWorks does good stuff, though, usually.
But we don't need any more movies based on toys, Kevin. We just don't need it. Stop
That's what
it.
We thought before Transformers, and that was a great series. Well,
come
great,
on!
It was a great first movie.
It was loud. It was a loud first movie.
It was loud.
There was a lot of...
And Kevin likes Battleship, remember?
I did, yeah.
That's
that was
right. That's,
who am I talking
That was
to?
Underrated.
I got to look around the room before I start making salient points about stuff, because all I get is... It's like feeding time at the chimp cage.
I'm giving you my best, man.
Yeah.
I'll throw my poo if that's what time it is.
Farrah Abraham, she's bad. This is the teen mom that you know I hate, who I didn't even know existed until last week, and now I hate her with
now
all the intensity of a white-hot sun.
How bad she is.
She's your Al-Qaeda.
She's worse. At least Al-Qaeda has a purpose. It's a twisted, perverted purpose, but they exist to do something.
Right.
This woman, all she ever did to start this chain of events is open her legs. That's all she did.
At a very young age.
At a very young age. And now everything else is just predicated on her just desperately clinging to whatever little shred of spotlight she can get. If she spent this much energy into getting an education or a career, she would be a Fortune 500 CEO right now.
But we live in an age now where somebody like Omarosa, who previously would have been on TV for 5 minutes and gone, ends up making a full-time, lifelong career out of just being in reality television. That's what they shoot for now. You get one show, you never want to leave.
Well, 16 and pregnant teen mom star Farrah Abraham got a lot of news this past couple weeks because James Dean, the porn star, did a porn movie with her, and that she's now shopping around, even though she was trying to pass it off as if they were dating, and it was a sex tape that somehow got leaked, and she was upset about it. That was going to be her take on it. To create interest in the movie, it was going to be, oh, no, this is something we did in the privacy of our own home, and now it's leaking out. I'm very upset.
I can't believe someone would do this to me.
Well, it wasn't her first attempt at this kind of skullduggery, these shenanigans trying to pull the wool over our eyes. An actor named Carson Underwood, 25-year-old actor, said he was approached by Farrah Abraham and offered a six-figure salary if he would pretend to be her boyfriend so that she could get on couples therapy on VH1.
Wow.
They sent over a confidentiality agreement with the offer, saying he would have to, of course, lie and say they were actually boyfriend and girlfriend and never reveal the truth. He was not interested. He denied it and declined the offer. Apparently, sources saying she's willing to do anything to stay famous. Here's what we need to do, people. I know it'll never happen, but we need to get together and just ignore her.
Yeah.
TMZ, us, MTV, everybody, let's just turn our back slowly and just look the other way. She'll go crazy. It'll
she
be
will.
Awesome.
Shrivel up and die.
I'm not positive you'd be able to do that.
She'll
now.
Burst into flames. Look, if
now that she's in your crosshairs.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to hurt her. That's what I'm saying. Whatever it takes.
Ralph, do you mind? I know we're running a little bit late. Do you mind if I play just a clip of the Teen Mom song
mind?
Again from her, from Farrah Abraham?
Mind?
He insists.
I demand it.
Because this is what really really got us going. We heard that this was the music that this lady was making just last week.
Take a finger in your stinker so those cancer cells won't linger. Make your O-ring open up like the mouth of an opera singer. So bend over, say hello. Spread those cheeks there down below. Let the doctor in your sphincter take a finger in your butt.
Now, nobody should be making music like that. Am I right, guys?
I don't think that's her music.
That's not her at all.
Because that actually takes some writing and singing.
Rhymes?
Create that.
Here's the actual Teen Mom. That's enough. I can't listen to any more of that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Lucas Haas is 37 years old today. Akon celebrates his 40th birthday. Peter Billingsley, you probably know him best as Little Ralphie from A Christmas Story, but he's a very successful producer in his own right, 42. John Cryer from Two and a Half Men turns 48, as does Martin Lawrence. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 49. Ellen Barkin is 59. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, star of TV Splash, turned 66 years old today. And hi, it's Kat. Kat's birthday today. Happy birthday, Kat. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Marine joins us in about 15 minutes from the WWE. John Cena will be on the show. First, though, how about funny man Jay Mohr back on the Kevin and Bean Show? We just saw him a couple of Saturday nights ago at the Gibson Amphitheater, slaying at April Foolishness, and you can see him on stage in a much smaller room tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are available through HollywoodImprov.com or JayMohr.com. Jay, welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, the WNBA draft was last night. My daughter got drafted number 5 on the L.A. Sparks. She's a rebounder. She's a post player. She don't take many shots. She don't need shots, Kevin. She rebounded. She likes to box out.
We were hoping to talk about the WNBA draft.
Yeah, Brittany Griner went number one. She's the Tim Duncan, man.
I don't mean this in a mean way at all, but I was watching the KBC Channel 4 news last night at 6, and I was shocked that they covered it. They actually did a story about how the top three players in the WNBA draft went exactly as expected. I thought, how is that making the news?
I don't think the first five picks in this draft are ever going to have nanny troubles.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. I see what you're saying. I got it now. Okay, I got you. Thank you.
I don't think they're ever going to get pregnant.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I got you now.
They're going to have a man baby. Yeah.
Jay,
Brittany Griner is my biological father. All right, sorry, guys. Hello, gentlemen. I got my title back.
Hey, Jay Moore. You were awesome. It was great to see you. That was a phenomenal set at April Foolishness. Thank you once again for doing it for the charity, man. We really appreciate it.
I'm so proud to be friends with you guys and the work that you guys do for Wounded Warriors and your other charity. For Wounded Warriors, I love so much. And just be a part of it. I was really proud of you guys. And it's always great to see the guys.
We don't do anything, but having guys like you and Bill Burr and Doug Benson and Brad Williams and everything there, it's just such a fun night. I mean, it really is like the best night of the year for us, and we can't thank you guys enough for being part of it.
I got to tell you, the K-Rock fans, specifically the Kevin and Bean fans, are so amazing. And I'm not kissing ass. I would air them out. You know I would. Yeah. But, like, when you hit the stage, they are so fired up. It's just an incredible night, and put me down for next year right now, RSVP.
All right.
Because I know Brad Williams is going to – what dance will he do next year? Come on, Brad. What do you got? I got my title back with words, and I don't care what anybody says. Brad Williams got to stand. That's fine. But why don't you throw that dance routine to George Carlin and ask him for notes on it and see what he says?
Jay, I have to...
Limousine driving, airplane flying.
Jay, don't you have a rapturous crowd that's excited to see you every time you play? Like, when you're at the Hollywood Improv tonight, you're going to be facing a room full of people who are coming to love Jay Moore. I'm sure the reaction is just as good.
About 5,600 less people.
Well, there's that, I guess. There's that. Yeah.
Don't tell Jeffrey. But I got to slip that in. But it's more, it's a lot slowed down. I was sort of like on, you know, speed dial. You know, you're going on April Foolishness. I wanted to get, basically I did 30 minutes of material in 20 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get all new stuff. That was all new material. Not a single thing was repeated. I didn't do Tracy. I didn't do Walken.
I didn't know you did Bono. I didn't know you did that. That was awesome.
Of course. Everything with you two is just last year. You know, just last year, Ed started to go bald. You got to hide your love away. Stop crying, Bono. You're a millionaire. Cheer up.
And I appreciated that you made the 20 minutes that you had. You made the most of it. And then you marched backstage where I saw you furiously cursing at the monitor because Doug Benson, who has no sense of time, was running long. And you were like, that effer. I did everything I could to get off. That guy's so stoned. He didn't even know he's on stage. And you were off.
Well, let's be very clear. I wasn't yelling at Doug Benson, yelling at the fact that I could have went an extra 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was funny.
Doug Benson can do whatever he wants. Carte blanche for Doug Benson.
He was great. Hey, listen, I want to, besides the Hollywood Improv tonight, and again, you can see the great Jay Moore on stage for just $20. It's a great deal. JayMoore.com or HollywoodImprov.com. I wanted to put in a plug for your podcast because I understand you've got the great Diamond Dave on the podcast. Is that the one that's going up today?
That's up right now. Diamond David Lee Roth is up right now. And then last night I recorded Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
No kidding. Really, check you out.
Really, really broke down Coachella and the win-at-all-costs mentality of a festival. I finally got a musician to admit, no, you got to be the best. You got to kick everyone in the nuts when you're up there, and you don't want anybody to be able to follow you. And he admitted to me, the hardest band to follow is the Hives.
Yeah, the Hives were really
great.
Yeah, because they really try hard.
He said, if you go on after the Hives, you better get a running start. He said, it's tough. He goes, believe me, we follow them, but it's tough. Other than that, I don't care who we go on after.
So David Lee Roth is up now, and then Josh Homme is up when? Next?
about a week, but okay. If you hit the subscribe button or you get the More Stories app on your phone, you won't even have to worry about it. It'll go automatically to your tablet.
Great stuff. I can't wait to hear Dave's stories. I mean, you talk about a guy who has lived, 100 years in 50. David Lee Roth has the stories.
I've listened to him on other podcasts, and he seems to have rambled a lot and is almost like a madman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And when he was in my fake mustache studios there, we really had an actual linear conversation about music, the history of the band, and why did you let Eddie Van Halen play organ on Jump? Whose idea is that? Like, I asked him a lot of stuff that he could have walked out on, and he was super cool about it, If two guys out of four are brothers, it's never a democracy.
Yeah.
And he said, our band has always gone on three things, volume and space. Who can yell the loudest and closest to the other person for the longest amount of time? That's usually who wins the argument.
Well, you can hear both of those
for the longest time.
You can hear both of those great podcasts and all the others at More Stories or jmoore.com, fakemustache.com, and buy tickets to see Jay on stage tonight at the Hollywood Improv. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. By the way, if you are disappointed, then Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show will reimburse your $20. How about that for a generous offer? If you don't like Jay Moore.
I'll reimburse him. Let Kevin off the hook.
Thank you.
In Oregon, crying out loud. Oh no, Bean's down in Oregon. Kevin's down a wallet.
$20, jmoore.com or hollywoodimprov.com. Great time tonight, Jay. Thank you so much for calling in, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, boys.
I want you to get your head around this for a second, Kevin. A couple weeks ago on April the 7th, MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey, more than 80,000 people are there for WrestleMania 29.
Wow.
More than 80,000 people. And what do they walk away into the good night thinking about? John Cena, who is once again the WWE champion at WrestleMania 29 because he beat up our friend The Rock. John, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you doing to The Rock? He's a national treasure. You don't hurt The Rock?
I think The Rock might have hurt himself. And that match, he claims to have injured himself. But I know for a fact that he finished second place.
Yes, that we can all agree on.
Whether I heard him or not, I was fortunate enough to finish first and he second.
What were you surprised, by the way? I know we got a bunch of ground we got to cover, including your great work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation here in a minute. But were you surprised when The Rock got back in such a big way into the WWE? I sure was.
I really was. And I know the year before we had an event in Miami that was labeled once in a lifetime because I thought what the world thought, that Rock would make one appearance and then kind of go quietly back into Hollywood. But the day after that event in his own hometown of Miami, he said, no, guys, I'm back and I'm going to stay back for a while. And he had a wonderful year with WWE, making show after show after show, appearance after appearance after appearance, in the midst of doing all of his other stuff. And ultimately showing up to defend the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, which was April 7th. And it was, like you said, over 80,000 were in MetLife, completely sold out. It looked fantastic. We brought New York City inside of MetLife Stadium, and it was a wonderful event. And I'm just glad that I did not lose that day.
Well, you put an end to all that wonderful fun we were having with The Rock, so... Thanks a lot.
You can have a whole new bunch of fun with The Rock.
There you go. Exactly. Let me ask you about this, and we've talked about it a little bit on today's show, but on a serious note, because I know that you're a serious person sometimes when you need to be. You're from the Boston area, and you had to work last night down there, right? Aren't you near Boston?
I'm from West Newbury, Massachusetts, which is a town about 45 minutes north of Boston. And we
That's what I thought.
I didn't agree to South Carolina, yeah.
And how tough was that to be able to think about anything than what was going on that you'd been seeing all day on the news? I can't even imagine going out there and trying to work last night.
No, it was what needed to be done. And I contacted my family through phone or text to make sure everyone was safe, and they were. My heart goes out to those affected by the tragedy. But WWE prides itself on putting smiles on people's faces. WWE, people don't realize this, was the first company to have broadcast a live event after 9/11. We were the first company to go on air in such a fashion. And we did that. It was a tough decision to make, but we did that because we felt that the world needed the chance, if they wanted to escape. And that's what WWE offers, a chance to escape, a chance to put a smile on your face, even in the toughest times of tragedy. So there was no question last night whether or not the show would go on. It was the right thing to do. I think WWE made the right call, and I'm glad we certainly did it.
Well, that's very, very well said. This is the voice of John Cena here on the Kevin Devine Show, WWE champion. He is the Make-A-Wish ambassador, and that's what we wanted to have you on today to talk about. You got a special day coming up on April the 29th for Make-A-Wish. Tell us about it, John.
April 29th is World Wish Day, and what we're asking people to do is visit wish.org/tickets to see how they can help. And really, I've granted a ton of these wishes. I'm very active in the Make-A-Wish charity, and basically what we're asking people to do is either make a cash donation or donate their frequent flyer miles to allow families, children and families to travel to their wish destination. This is a major part of making wishes happen. Just meeting people or going to famous destinations, wherever a kid may want to go, takes travel. And all this takes administration, and it has to happen with airline tickets. So if you go to wish.org/tickets, you can find out how you can make a cash donation or you can donate your frequent flyer miles. Now here's the kicker. I'm not just a spokesperson for this promotion on April 29th. I'm actually asking you to do exactly what I'm going to do. Last year, we had a similar promotion where I donated 4 million frequent flyer miles.
Wow.
This year, I'm asking people to donate, and I will match every single mile donated up to 4.5 million. So I'm hoping together by April 29th, we can raise 10 million miles to help a bunch of kids and their families get their wish to come true.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people say, I'd like to see John Cena at such and such a place, and you really don't think about the money that goes into getting them there or the frequent flyer miles or whatever.
And that that Make-A-Wish charity truly gives children facing life-threatening medical conditions a chance to grant one wish. So these children are truly up against some of the most unsurmountable odds and really have a really... Each day is an unbelievable fight, not only for the children, but for their families. And when I see these families, and I've met so many of them in person, the happiness, the hope, the emotion on their face when their wishes come true is indescribable. It's a wonderful charity. And like I said, if you just got a few frequent flyer miles kicking around, go to wish.org/tickets. I'll match whatever you donate, and hopefully we can help make some wishes happen this year.
That's a wonderful offer, wish.org/tickets. Or if you'd rather or like to, you can just make a donation. You can text WISH to 50555, and that's an easy $5. It takes like 5 seconds to do. Text the word WISH to 50555. John is being modest, by the way, but he has granted more Make-A-Wishes than anyone in the history of the charity. And did you get started in this charity because of how many kids wanted to come see the WWE in person? Is that how you were first introduced to them, John?
That really is how it happened. WWE's been in relationship with Make-A-Wish for 20 years, and I've been granting wishes for almost about 10 now. So through the rise in popularity I had with the WWE, I began being requested for these wishes. And when I found out that it was a kid's wish, like you, if you're given one wish, their wish was to meet and hang out with me. And it really is flattering. I try every week at as many WWE events as I can to grant as many wishes as I can. And I don't care how busy I think I am. It is something that I always take time for because, like I said, the expression, the emotion, the hope that it gives, and the memories that I have from meeting these families and just seeing the joy on their faces is truly worth whatever time I need to sacrifice to make it happen.
It probably does more for you than them, I would imagine.
It is so. It really is so rewarding, not only being able to meet them, spend the day with them, but when I can tell in the arena where they're sitting, they're my special guests for the evening. And even just when you're out there in the ring doing your thing, giving them a small hello, a subtle acknowledgement of the fact that they're there, it really makes it means the world to them. It means the world to me. It really is a wonderful charity, and I'm glad we got involved. And I'm just getting started in what I can hopefully accomplish with Make-A-Wish during my career.
If you want to donate miles, go to wish.org/tickets or make a $5 donation by texting WISH to 50555. John, glad we got a chance to talk to you. You make the rest of us feel like crap, man, but we'll try to follow in your footsteps and help out with Make-A-Wish the best we can.
I want to feel better about wish.org/tickets and we'll help make some wishes happen.
There we go. All right, John, best to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, let's open the lines for Coachella tickets for this coming weekend. Weekend
fantastic.
1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to earn them, however. You are going to have to stump Pat O'Brien.
Oh, that Pat O'Brien. He knows everybody and everything about these bands on the Coachella bill. How are you going to stump him?
So you're going to have to come up with a trivia question about one of the bands that's playing at Coachella this year. And you'll ask Pat. If you can stump him, you'll go into the drawing and you'll win tickets. You probably won't, but give it a try. 1-800-520-106.
Former sports reporter, former entertainment reporter, now sports radio host, Pat O'Brien joins us in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Pat.
Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Good to see you. You look good.
Don't forget, journalist, too, before I even got into sports.
Sure.
I was a regular journalist.
Right.
So
that's bad ways, but yeah.
Not forget everything.
Mm-hmm. No, you've done it. You've done it all,
35 years.
Right.
Long,
the first
long
to let us know.
In broadcast journalism.
Right. But what
pretty
we'd
proud
like,
of it, too.
What we'd like to do is we'd like to do a game to give away some tickets for Coachella.
I just want everyone to remember that tomorrow's gone. Doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay.
Yesterday is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And tomorrow.
Right.
Today will be yesterday. As right. yesterday is
okay.
already today. But today
right.
is the only day that really we have.
But do we care about
so
today?
Make, if it's, make it work.
But it's, make it is work it really just you? Tomorrow's yesterday is today, though? So that
battle
doesn't
your demons. And
right.
And if you can conquer them like I did, then
right.
maybe you, too, can have a career
so,
like I
so
had.
So, Pat, you two's not playing Coachella, but we are interested in questions about the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Phoenix or Vampire Weekend.
I know all those guys. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Sure.
Okay.
Long way
so,
back.
So, yeah, yeah, yes. Whatever band is playing or artist is playing that you have a trivia question about, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Going in the drawing to win tickets for all 3 days this coming weekend and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. If you can, stump Pat.
We're going to stump Pat. That's right. And he knows about Coachella.
He knew
everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And can you stump, stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
He's the biggest douche of all.
That's right.
And can you stump, stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
The biggest douche, douche, douche of all.
Oh, yeah. Douche.
Let Omar know if he wants to meet me down at Sepulveda Ventura.
All right,
I'll be
there.
He knows what I look
Pat.
Like.
We're not fighting, okay?
You come down there and there's a hospital nearby.
Right.
I won't be
right.
taking you there, but that's where you'll end up, Omar.
End up, right. All right. Pat, I need to ask
jealous
you.
Jealous of my 35-year career.
Okay. Right.
I mean, you're going to make some
favor.
Friends in that kind of career.
All right.
You know?
Thank you, Pat. Listen, I need you to do a favor for us.
Prime time with Pat O'Brien, Steve
right,
Harvey.
Right, I need you to listen to the listener's question and then just answer it. We don't need a big backstory.
I don't
backstory.
Think I like your tone, Bean.
Well, I'm just saying we're short on time. We want to get you're as many questions.
As if I don't listen to people.
Okay. I
you know,
just want to
Sir
make
Paul
sure.
Paul McCartney once told
all
me
right.
that I was one of the best listeners he's ever met. We were jamming in his basement.
Okay.
I was on the keyboard. Pretty good keyboard player, by the way.
Pat, we'd like to talk to the listeners, if you don't mind.
Let's
and,
go to
Sir Paul
Spencer.
Was on the bass.
Right.
Hofner, of course, is what he played for many years.
Hey, Spencer. Hold that story, Pat. Spencer's on the line with a trivia question. He's going to try to stump Pat O'Brien.
Hey, party people. Lisa May. How's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Spencer, you're not related to Lara Spencer, are you, by any chance?
No, but Tracy Spencer I am.
All right, Tracy Spencer, good friend of mine. way back.
All right, what's your question about a Coachella artist to try to stump Pat O'Brien?
Pat O'Brien, I was wondering if you knew what country the band Phoenix originates from.
Thanks for asking, Spencer. You know, I'm going back,
easy.
Going back to UCLA now, getting another degree.
Okay.
This will be my fourth degree that I have, so now I'm officially a Bruin.
Does that have something to do
well,
with...
Well, I was just studying a little geography at UCLA the
right.
other day. Of course, they've got a new basketball coach, a good
right.
friend of mine.
Good.
Okay.
What country is Phoenix from?
I was doing a little geography, and I found out that Phoenix is actually in the United States of America. Phoenix, Arizona, of course.
Right, but we're not talking about the city. Now, his question is about the band
named
Phoenix.
He said, what country
Phoenix.
Is Phoenix from?
The band
Phoenix,
that's playing Coachella,
Phoenix is
right.
from the United States.
Phoenix is headlining night two. R. Kelly came out with him last weekend.
R. Kelly's a good friend of mine.
Okay.
You know, when he was going through all that legal
Spencer,
trouble,
you want to give
I took him aside, and I said, listen, I beat my demons, R., I call him R.
R.
And
I'm sorry
I,
about that.
I think
up.
I helped him through with
Spencer,
what he was going through,
what country
by the
way. Is Phoenix from?
They would be from France.
France.
I'm
France,
afraid we're
yeah.
going to have to agree to disagree.
Well, they are
that's
true.
France.
Well, actually, Parisian.
Find a map of Arizona.
Okay.
And then find
have,
Phoenix
right.
on
he's
it.
Talking about the
thank
band.
And then tell me
oh,
where
Spencer
Phoenix
is in the drawing for the Coachella tickets. Let's move on to Derek. Derek has another very easy question,
prime
Pat,
time,
for a guy like
Pat
you.
Pat O'Brien and
nope.
Steve Hartman.
For, Kevin
and
for a guy like you who knows so much about so many things. Derek, what's your question to stump Pat?
Hey, Pat. I was wondering if you knew who the lead singer of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs was.
Lead singer, of course, of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. You know, I remember I was one of the first
don't
people to interview the Yeah Yeah Yeahs when they broke. Originally.
Okay, and the lead singer's name is?
Know, originally, they were the No No No's. And I said, that's too negative, guys. Because tomorrow is promised to no
already
man.
Got that, right?
Yesterday's already gone. All
already
we have
that.
Is today. Why
right.
not be positive?
Right.
What's
and
the
so
name of the
said,
woman
yeah,
you were interviewing,
yeah,
Pat?
Yeah, yeah, that woman that I was interviewing,
uh-huh.
Sheena Easton.
Sheena Easton.
A good friend
definitely,
of mine.
I know it wasn't Sheena Easton.
Derek, is it Sheena Easton?
No.
No.
It's Carrot O.
Well, yeah, sure, now it is, but I thought you were talking about the original.
It was never. It was never.
Good friend of mine. Karen's a good friend of mine.
All right.
We used to play Mahjong.
Thank you, Derek. Hold
okay.
on.
Together. Nobody wants to hear about your Pamela Mahjong. Anderson's house. She'd have a topless Mahjong, and so
thank,
I'd go over there. We'd play for a couple
right.
hours.
Thank
and Karen,
you.
Hell of a Mahjong player.
Right.
Let's go to Drew. Know that, but
Drew
I'm
is on line
her, so I know
seven.
All about that.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Drew is on line seven. He has another question about an artist playing Coachella this weekend. Drew, welcome to the show. Stump Pat.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, it's me.
Hey there.
I wanted to know if you knew artist 2 Chainz.
Sure. Or
what group before he was 2 Chainz?
You know, 2 Chainz and I go way, way back to the beginning days when he was just 1 Chainz.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's all he had. And I gave him one of my chains, and that's how he became 2 Chainz. By the way,
like,
he still owes me for that chain.
He was like 20 minutes late this past weekend. Hopefully he'll be on time. But what group was 2 Chainz a part of is the question.
One of the great groups of all time. One of my favorites, the Monkees.
The Monkees.
Yeah.
Drew, is it the Monkees?
No, it is not.
Sure it is.
Who would it be?
Player's Circle.
No, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
That's
on
not
this
a
one.
Agree to disagree thing.
He's right and
it
you're wrong,
Peter,
Pat.
Mickey,
that's what's going
Mike,
on.
Davey, and 2 Chainz.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Hold on.
We just have time for one more. It's going to be Fernando, and you're going to like this question, Pat, because it has a celebrity angle, so maybe he can stump Pat. Hi, Fernando. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My question is, which celebrity does Chad Smith look like, drummer of the Chili Peppers?
Chad Smith, like? Of course, he's the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's what Fernando just told us.
A lot of people say he looks like a celebrity.
Yes.
Yes, exactly like a celebrity. It's very annoying to him.
It's very annoying to all of us when we look at him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it's obvious that he looks like a young Dave Coulier from From
Dave
Full House.
Coulier.
Yeah, I remember when I was on the set of Full House, you know, I was one of the first journalists to interview the
okay.
Olsen twins.
Pat, hold on a second.
That's back before they could even talk.
Fernando.
It was kind
is
of
it,
a one-sided interview.
Is it Dave Coulier?
I would just give them a banana and they'd chew it up, and I would lip sync. I would put the words in their mouths as they moved their lips.
He looks just like Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, exactly
no,
like
we're
Will
have to
Ferrell.
Agree to disagree.
That's not.
That
okay.
All right. Spencer is
I don't
in
think
the
I like your tone, Fernando.
Also,
come
Derek
down and meet me at Ventura. And Sepulveda, I'll be there.
Fernando,
right on the you know what I'm
and
like.
Drew, they're all eligible to win the 3-day passes for Coachella and access to the K Rock Coachella House.
Keep, Lisa, I'm trying to do a show.
You
here.
Shut
you
up.
So are we.
Who's it going to be, Lisa?
The winner's Derek.
Derek.
Yeah!
Congratulations, Derek.
All right.
All 3 days. Thanks for stumping Pat. Derek and the Dominoes. I used to play
right.
with those guys.
We gotta
back
go,
in the
Pat.
Day when I was
there.
Thanks for stumping Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant pump his ass.
That's right.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hi.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hi, Kat. Hi.
Hi, it's Kat.
Happy birthday, Kat.
It is the Kat Corbett.
Have a good time, and you get in your car with your dog sliding around in the back.
Kat Corbett birthday celebration here on the Kevin DeBede Show. We're going to talk to Dana White from the UFC. He's the president of the UFC, don't you know, coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah. Good thing Kat's not up yet, or else she would have heard.
She won't be up for another 45 minutes.
I think her alarm goes off at 9:30. She gets her around 9:45.
What time does she get here? She's on the air at 10?
Yeah.
She wakes up around 9:45.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, she tosses off whoever's on top of her, and she just crawls in here, all bleary-eyed and smelling of cheap mezcal.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
That's true. I wasn't. Congratulations to Wesley Snipes. Out of the joint, he's already got a job. Why can't more ex-cons be like this guy? Productive member of society. Get out of jail. Get yourself a high-paying job right away. Why can't they do that?
Well, they didn't start
bums,
out that way.
Lazy bums.
Okay.
Ralph, he did. It seems to me, and I haven't seen a lot of coverage on this, but every day of that 3 years, they didn't cut this dude a break at all.
I don't know the extent of how much he did of his sentence. I know he is...
He was in for 3 years, three solid years.
All right, then.
When you get sent for tax evasion, do you have to still pay money back? Or is this wiping your slate clean?
Is the time served considered the payment? I don't know, Lisa.
We don't know.
We'll
find out, I'm sure.
We'll get some sort of tax attorney on the show here and talk about it. Because it is tax season, you know.
Yep.
What's tomorrow? Is it tomorrow tax time?
It was yesterday. It was yesterday.
Oh. More importantly.
Geez, I'm in trouble.
Sylvester Stallone has given Wesley Snipes a new job. He's going to join the crew in Expendables 3. Sly tweeted over the weekend, Wesley Snipes is back with us. Either that or back with U.S. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe he just means the United States. But looks like He will join the cast of Expendables 3, and Sylvester Stallone also implied that Mel Gibson might direct the movie as well, saying, "Mel is a magnificent director, pure passion on every level. We'd be blessed to have him. A real long shot, but life is a long shot, right? You know it, Rocky. Life's a long shot."
That's great casting, though.
And good directing job hiring, too.
Sure.
Yes.
I wonder who's going to get the first Wesley Snipes interview now that, you know, Oprah's cut way back.
I don't care.
Pat O'Brien?
Probably.
They go way back, Pat O'Brien and Wesley Snipes.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. How would you like to see Ian Ziering of Beverly Hills 90210 in a Speedo and a bow tie?
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
Well,
no thanks.
If you're interested, you can go to Chippendales in Vegas. He is going to be performing with the Chippendales. From one of the highest rated TV shows in America to dancing on stage in your jockstrap.
Is he the featured performer?
He is the featured performer, Lisa.
Lisa knows. She knows how it goes down at Chippendales.
Other featured performers in the Vegas show there in Chippendales have been Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
Jake Pelvelka from The Bachelor. Hey. And Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees. They have all shaken their moneymakers for Chippendales there in Vegas. So it looks like Ian Ziering is up next.
I've danced with the Thunder Down Under, but never that.
I remember you with them.
Sure. Yeah.
You were their only non-Australian member, I think. They made a special exemption for you because you brought the Thunder Stick.
No way.
I'm sure there are a lot of ladies of a certain age who grew up with 90210, had a big crush on Steve, who'd love to see him shaking that ass in Vegas, right?
Absolutely.
That'll probably work out for him.
And on the heels of the Farrah Abraham sex tape, now comes news of a Buck Wild sex tape. Two stars from Buck Wild, Shay and Jessie J. Of course, you know, she was living with Jessie J until they went over there and got all her stuff and moved her into the house with the girls.
Right.
They have a sex tape. It sounds, from what Shay is saying, like Jessie J was the one shopping it around. She told TMZ, "Yes, there is a sex tape, and I regret making it with someone who I obviously couldn't trust and is looking to exploit the relationship we had. Where it is, it's nothing special. People who have seen it are calling it trailer park sex. Nothing fancy, down and dirty, and a little tacky because she doesn't even take her shirt off."
That's bogus.
How much in a hurry are you to have trailer park sex if you can't even get naked for it?
Wow.
Nice cans, by the way.
Not that you can see them.
Not that you can see them in a video. That's all I'm saying.
That's not right. That's not a sex date.
And while we're talking about...
All right, so I'll put you down as a no...
Farrah Abraham from Teen Mom. Everyone talking about her sex tape with Triple X star James Dean. Now we find out she was so desperate to stay in the spotlight that she tried to hire a 25-year-old actor named Carson Underwood to play her boyfriend so that she could get on the effed up couples show Couples Therapy on VH1. She was going to pretend to have a troubled relationship with a stranger in order to get on a TV show.
Dude. That's like pretending to be an addict so you can get on Celebrity Rehab. You know, it just doesn't, it's crazy.
It's like taking 3 months of eating nothing but Cold Stone Creamery just to get fat enough to go on The Biggest Loser so that you can lose it.
Which is her next plan, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. She would never get fat, trust me.
No. Oh, okay.
She is such a vain little creature.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Although, now that you bring it up, Ralph, we should ask, is that what you're trying to do, Beer Mug?
I don't need to get that weight. I'm already there.
See, what happens when you ask him a question?
Thumbs up.
He answers you, and then we get that.
Fire Beer Mug.
And then that goes on the air. When will you learn?
Sorry.
All right. Let you go this time. Today's celebrity birthday is Lucas Haas. I was talking about his early career when he was a little kid. He was in Witness. He played the little Amish kid that is the witness to the murder that Harrison Ford has to protect him. But I've been informed, and I haven't seen this show yet, but he's one of the stars of Touch over there on Fox with Kiefer Sutherland.
I watch that all the time. Who is he?
I don't watch that show, so I can't tell you, but he's Lucas Haas. I would know him if I saw him. I would say, oh, that's the guy I'm talking about, but I can't do that here.
That's a good show. The character played by Lucas Haas, apparently.
Okay. Akon is 40 years old. Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story. He was a little Ralphie on that show. Now he's a big-time producer. 42 years old. John Cryer is 48. Martin Lawrence is also 48. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 49. Ellen Barkin celebrates her 59th birthday.
Hammerhead, Sharkhead.
Stop it. She's lovely and talented.
Somebody had to say it today. We've gone the whole day without pointing out that she's got the head of a hammerhead shark. Her eyes are like foot apart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Take a look at a photo.
I agree.
Star of Splash, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, celebrates his 66th birthday. And, hi, it's Kat.
It's my birthday today, too. Happy birthday to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I like the show business.
Look, I love Dana White. I'm always happy when we have him on the show, but I'm just saying this time tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Kate Upton.
Oh, we lose today, huh?
I know. I'm sorry, Dana. This time tomorrow, we got Kate Upton on the show, buddy. Nothing you can do about that, but how are you?
I'm good, and I don't blame you.
Yeah. It's kind of hard. I mean, now that we're 24 hours away from that interview, I'm kind of in the mode of being able to think of nothing else, but I'm going to try to put that aside and concentrate on what you've got going on, which is another big UFC.
Try to power through this interview.
Exactly, yeah. The rest of my life's a waste compared to that. UFC on Fox number 7 is happening Saturday night. I can't believe we're to 7 already. That's insane. How do you feel like it's been going, your relationship with Fox?
It's been amazing, man. We actually just had the Ultimate Fighter finale. We were number 1 on all of broadcast and cable with males 18 to 34, so it couldn't be going better.
Yeah, and then you got that fight at the end of the month, right?
At the end of the month, we have Jones versus Sonnen. Yep.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about UFC on Fox 7, because the one thing that I love about your sports, and we've talked about this before, is you're so deep. I mean, you can put on as many fights as you do, and there's always great matchup on the cards because there's so much talent out there, and you have done a brilliant job of finding it and working with it and nurturing it. Talk about what you're excited about UFC on Fox 7.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I love the fact that, you know, our fan base is so hardcore, and we have so many people that, like you said, there's so many great fights, they want to watch them all. I love the fact that now, because of this deal with Fox, we can bring people, you know, we do pay-per-views, but now we can bring people huge fight cards for free on a network like Fox. This Saturday we got Ben Henderson, the lightweight champion, taking on Gilbert Melendez, a fight people have wanted to see for a long time. Frank Mir versus Daniel Cormier, Nate Diaz versus Josh Thompson, Matt Brown versus Jordan Mean. I mean, from top to bottom, even the prelims are all great cards. I mean, a guy like Chad Mendez is on the prelims. So it's going to be a great night, and it's free on Fox.
Hey, it starts at 5 o'clock too, right?
Yep.
On the West Coast. Tell me a little bit about Gilbert Melendez. I don't know enough about him. I don't know as much about him as I should.
Yeah, Gilbert Melendez, well, if you look at Ben Henderson, 17-2. Melendez is 21-2. Melendez is one of the best lightweights in the world. He has been for years, but has just never got the opportunity to fight for a title in the UFC. So this is a fight that a lot of people have wanted to see if this guy really is the best or if Ben Henderson is.
Ben Henderson looks like he's unbeatable.
Yeah, he looks great, and he looks better every fight. And the guys that he's defended his title against are very legit. And if he beats Gilbert Melendez, I really believe that Henderson's going to start to get the credit that he really deserves.
Well, that's the big fight that night. But as you mentioned, it's a whole evening of fighting on Fox starting at 5 o'clock on the West Coast. I love that you do it live, by the way, and you don't tape delay it, which I think is so important for sporting events, especially in this age of social media. It's just ridiculous to assume that it's not going on when it's happening live. So that was a great move on your part, Dana.
Appreciate it, yeah. And obviously it's a lot easier to do on a huge platform like Fox.
And you're doing this from where, San Jose?
Yeah, it'll be in San Jose. We'll be live in San Jose and live on Fox.
Now, Nate Diaz is fighting. His brother Nick was fought and retired. Have you heard anything more about that? Was he completely serious? Is that over?
You know, you never know with this guy. I don't think that he retired. No, I don't.
You
I think
don't?
It would
okay.
be ridiculous if he did, but hey, I really don't think he did, but you never know with Nick Diaz.
This is the voice of the president himself, Mr. Dana White from the UFC here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about UFC on Fox number 7, which is happening this Saturday night on Fox, Channel 11 in Southern California, starting at 5 o'clock. And then UFC 159, Jones versus Sonnen, is going to be at the end of the month. Kevin and I were just joking before you came on, Dana, that if Sonnen loses this fight, somebody needs to finally force him to actually retire instead of just saying before every fight, if I lose, I'm never going to fight again. Somebody needs to make him make that true. Who's going to do that?
I have a feeling that if he does not win this fight, he will definitely contemplate retiring. I guarantee you.
But
that.
He's contemplated retiring for 10 years now.
True.
He's been. I'll tell you though.
Know what you're going to get.
I'll tell you though, and that's why he's been fun this year on the Ultimate Fighter, because he's such a character.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's entertaining. There's no question about that. Hey, Dana, while I have you on, I have to ask you a couple of girl questions real quick. First of all, when's Rhonda going to fight again? And how much could that have possibly exceeded your expectations for being a great fight for the first female UFC fight in January?
Well, she will fight. She's actually coaching the Ultimate Fighter this next season of the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, no kidding. So okay.
And she will fight. You guys didn't see the fight this last weekend with Kat Visano and Misha Tate, did you?
No, I didn't see that.
No.
You have to. we've now had two fights on the UFC. First of all, this card that we did last Saturday night was unbelievable. From the first fight to the last fight, and the girls' fight ended up winning fight of the night.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
It's an unbelievable fight. So Kat Zagano beat Misha Tate this weekend. She will now coach against Ronda Rousey on The Ultimate Fighter. And we announced that next season we will be on Fox Sports 1. Fox is launching a new sports network.
Oh, no.
The old T channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So The Ultimate Fighter will be on Fox Sports 1 next season with Ronda Rousey and Kat Zagano as the coaches.
That's
and
great.
We're going to have women and men, 135-pound women and 135-pound men on the show, living together and training together.
But not fighting together.
No.
I don't mean to sound stupid, but I just want to make sure.
No.
Okay, no. Good. Well, I'm so glad that you were man enough to admit that you were wrong when you said that women would never fight for the UFC, because it's been great for the sport and so entertaining, and the fights are great, and I look forward to years and years of both sexes fighting for you, Dana. It's awesome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Again, UFC 7 is on Fox this Saturday night at 5 p.m. You can see Benson Henderson. You can see Frank Mir and a whole bunch more. Thank you, Dana, for coming on the show. We always appreciate your time.
All right, buddy. Thank you, guys.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
Well, not quite, birthday girl. Ralph is here first with the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Margaritas for everyone.
Hey, Kat.
Time to blow out my cake.
You kid, but you love Kat as much as we do, right? She's
of course
the best.
I love Kat.
She's the best. She's the best.
That's why I tease her.
There's no one better.
It's like teasing your sister. Your much, 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 much younger sister.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hi, Kat.
Younger, hotter
Hi,
sister.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Let's talk about showbiz news. Justin Bieber.
Never disappoints.
First of all, let me say, of all the people in the world, Justin Bieber is not one of my favorites.
Right. Strong language, Ralph. How are you going to back that up?
But this week, he posted on his Instagram account two shirtless photos of him.
He loves that
he
so
did.
Much.
But this is special because this is in the gym after he's worked out and got a bit of a pump going. He's taking pictures of himself in the mirror. I've seen lots of people do this. Nobody's a bigger douchebag than the guy taking pictures of himself in the mirror at the gym.
Yeah.
Nobody's a bigger douchebag. Now, compound that when Justin Bieber does it, and you have douchebaggery of biblical proportions.
Yeah.
So then he posts them, and then he tries to defuse it by saying, with the caption, uh-oh, Justin Bieber is losing it taking shirtless pictures in the mirror. Funny people. Like, that's their quote.
Yeah.
Right.
Then he writes, breaking news worldwide, Justin Bieber just posted two shirtless pictures. He must be going crazy, funny people. Now listen, we don't think you're going crazy. You're just an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody looks worse with their shirt off
than him.
If you were going crazy, you'd be interesting. But you're not. You're just this bland piece of pop scrotum who is narcissistic enough to take pictures of himself at the gym in the mirror and post them.
Now, Ralph, I have to ask you this question. Are you, in fact, a hater, or are you just a confused admirer?
Yeah, I'm a confused admirer, because all haters are confused admirers, according to Justin Bieber. Does he not? Isn't he?
But no. No to all of those.
But indeed, shouldn't he?
Yeah. Yes to that
Excellent
one.
Question. Excellent question.
He must know the effect he has on people with this kind of behavior, right? After the Anne Frank debacle and all the stuff's going on. Dude, how's he not just rein it in and say, you know what? I'm just going to lay low and not be a douchebag for 5 minutes.
Right.
I don't think he has that amount of self-awareness. I really don't.
I really don't.
He's had an alarming streak of missteps in the last 6 months.
But these photos of him, like,
like Zoolandering it into the mirror, taking pictures of himself. It's just pathetic.
And his little woman's body, his little 9-year-old woman's body, to get a little tan, he could do something.
I don't
just looks terrible.
I don't get it. It's all lost on me, man.
Yeah.
Hey, good news for Sports Illustrated cover girl Kate Upton,
who will be on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow in this hour.
Yeah, I know. By the way, she's going to be on the phone. Good work, Dave, right. King of Mexico. Way to produce the show. Thanks
so much.
Good
start. But she will fall so deeply in love with us that she'll insist on coming in next time she's in L.A.
See, I'm thinking just the opposite. We had one shot, which was to get her in the studio once, because you're going to creep on her so bad.
I'm not going to creep on her
at all.
You
were going to drive her away with as if she was shot out of a cannon, she'll leave that interview.
Not at all.
Never to be come back.
I'm
going to
be very... I'm simply going to ask her why the dollar is so low and then move on.
That was a question being asked to... who was it?
I think it was Rachel Nichols in the early years, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
All right, what about Kate Upton? What's she got going on? Something we can talk to her about tomorrow?
She is reportedly joining the cast of the upcoming Nick Cassavetes comedy, The Other Woman, with Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann.
All right.
The film, Cameron Diaz finds out that she is the mistress of a man, and she's having an affair with a married man. She doesn't know that he's married. So as revenge, she teams up with the guy's wife to get even with him. Kate plays another one of his mistresses who apparently was also clueless about the other women in his life, so she is also willing to go along with their plot for revenge.
This is a movie or a
TV
show?
This is a horror movie is what it is.
Yeah, it sure is.
I've never heard anything more terrifying in my life than the description of this film. It's a feature film, Kevin.
Okay. I don't like mistresses who get revenge. I don't like that at all.
When teaming up with the wife?
Yeah, that's no good.
No. Hey. Most terrifying part of Southland. I said to my wife, it's not the tweakers, it's not the danger. It's that crazy ex-girlfriend right out there, right outside the parking garage. This is the most dangerous thing about Southland right there is on that sidewalk.
And I am being careful of a spoiler alert in case there are Mad Men fans who haven't seen Sunday Night, but never allow your wife and your mistress to take a car ride together.
Don't
Can I just offer that piece of advice?
Don't.
That's pretty safe advice, I think, yeah.
And don't talk about it either, mistresses.
A lot of rules.
Well, it's just simple common sense rules. It's like, you know what? If you're walking down a dark alley, don't count your cash. Don't pull it out of your wallet. Just say, oh, look how much money I have. It's common sense, right?
Makes sense.
Women. Lisa, you with me? You with me, Lisa?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa's not even listening. She's
I'm listening.
Painting her dog's claws or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna say something nice about Lisa here that I think she's cool enough that she would be an awesome mistress. She would know her place.
I think she would just keep her mouth shut.
I would know my place.
She would keep her mouth shut.
I think it's tacky to sleep with a married man.
Right, but
Yeah, but still.
But you do it.
Yeah, exactly, but still.
You'll do it. But if you do it, you're going to keep your mouth shut about it, right?
You bet.
It's even tackier to do it and then talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no class there.
Let me tell you who Lisa wouldn't be. Wouldn't be the woman who broke into Hugh Jackman's gym Saturday while he was working out.
Uh-oh.
Screaming and crying about how much she loved him and then finish off her tirade by throwing an electric razor filled with her own pubic hair at him.
Oh, God.
She wouldn't be that. She wouldn't be that woman.
Wow, that's a level of crazy you haven't heard about before.
Yeah, he was a little shaken over the incident. He's beefed up his security detail a little bit because he said he was concerned about her well-being. She was obviously an unstable woman. But he didn't seem to leave it fazed that he was pelted with pubic hair.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's a little bit, yeah.
Wow. That's a strange thing to throw at people.
You know what, guys? We may do a lot of things in our lives, but we will never instill the kind of lust in a woman where she will pelt us with her pubic hair.
That's for sure.
That's a good thing, I think.
And I don't think so. I could go for a little pubic hair.
I'd like
hair
to try
pelting.
It for a while.
Just once. Just you love me so much, you're going to throw your pubic hair at me? That's love. That's all I'm saying.
Lisa, you don't know
fire beer mug.
You don't know what it's like to be in love.
Why would we fire beer mug over that incident?
I just said he was somehow involved, I think.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I do that, it is Tuesday, so here's what's newly available in CDs and DVDs. You can check it out. Django Unchained, if you missed that in theaters, now available on DVD and Blu-ray. A Monster in Paris, starring Adam Goldberg and Vanessa Paradis.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
I don't know anything about that film, but it sounds interesting. New CDs, great bunch of new CDs out today. The Terror by the Flaming Lips, their new CD is available. Willie Nelson has a new CD.
What?
Let's Face the Music and Dance, it's called. Sounds like it's a collection of standards. Does everyone, after a certain age, have to record their album full of standards?
I think they just get tired of their own crap.
I think there's some sort of obligation once you join the music industry. They make you sign a contract that at 66 you will start recording
Cole Porter songs.
Now, I agree with you, because we've seen that done with Paul McCartney, with Rod Stewart, lots of people. But Willie puts these out, but then he's so prolific, he'll also, in a month, put out another album of his new songs. He's just doing it all.
You love Willie Nelson.
I do love Willie Nelson.
Save Rock and Roll by Fall Out Boy. Well,
they're the band to do it.
If you were looking to somebody to save rock and roll, that's
them.
Top of the list.
Free the Universe by Major Lazer.
Oh, the best band by Fur at Cacciolo.
And Mosquito by the AAAs. You can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Star of Splash on ABC, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He is 66
How
years
dare
old
you
today.
Introduce him that way?
Well, I don't know what else has the man done.
Laker great.
Does he have a statue?
NBA Hall of Fame.
Does he have a statue?
I don't think so.
Well, how great could he be then? That's all I'm saying.
Yes, he does, I'm being told now.
Oh. Ellen Barkin's 59 years old today. David Perner of Soul Asylum is 49. Martin Lawrence and John Cryer are both 48. Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story celebrates his 42nd birthday. Akon is 40. Lucas Haas celebrates his 37th birthday. And hi, it's Kat Corbin celebrates her birthday.
That's so hot.
Hey, Kat.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Matt Money Smith in the studio to talk about the end of the Lakers.
Communism.
The end of the NBA season, I should say. Not the end of the Lakers. That didn't come out right.
I think you were right the first time.
That didn't come out right.
The end of the Lakers season. That blown Achilles is good for a player. He'll come back even better.
The Lakers could still make the playoffs, though.
Yeah. But Kobe's gone.
Tomorrow night. I know. I hear you. That is true.
What happens then?
Also on the program.
Rebuilding. The words rebuilding ring a bell?
Also on the program, we have Diplo in the studio.
What the what?
Talking about Coachella. And we have your 3-day passes for Coachella. And we have Kate Upton.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you. That's tomorrow morning on an...